Hello, hello. Is this thing actually on? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the return of the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show here at F4WOnline.com, WrestlingObserver.com, DrKeithShow.com, SemperVivi has some sort of brainissue.com. My name, of course, is the good doctor, Dr. Keith Lipinski. Thank you so much for joining us this week as we are back. We are not back in black, but we are back from the sack. And I'm here with two men that just had Mac attacks, and this is why I'm not a gangster rapper. Yes, we are back, and it feels so good to be reunited with these two men. First of all, he was actually at one time, after Gary Cherone, the lead singer of Van Halen. Please welcome Van Barlow.
Hi, guys!
And, of course, after Van Barlow years, there were, of course, the Van Sempervivi years.
I tried to take it back to DLR, but instead it was more like a bad Sammy Hagar version.
What do you mean, bad Sammy Hagar? That's like saying there's a bad Sammy Hagar song out there. So
he was no DLR.
You know, my dream was actually to replace Gary Cherone in Extreme. I shot very low on the dream scale.
Well, could you put three sides to that record, though, Bill?
I never get figured out how to play that on my cassette player. Okay. That weird triangle cassette.
Barlow, more of a realist, because you wouldn't look good in those stretchy pants anyway.
I would beg to differ. But no, that's neither here nor there, guys. We're here to talk wrestling, and we're here to talk about the return of the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show this week, because this is exciting, because I had people thinking that, you know, possibly my sabbatical would last till the end of the year, and the sabbatical is officially over. So I'm actually sitting there putting on their show begins anew. So this I would like to call is, the Dr. Keith Show Mark 28. So this is the traditional restart where we're down for a few weeks, and then we come back, and then we lose TNT. But we have, without a doubt, for you, ladies and gentlemen, a fantastic show this week. First off, we have what I like to call in the interviewing business, a little bit of a mystery guest, if you will. We have a man that's actually going to be busy later on tonight. More on that in the interview. But we have 15 minutes with a man I've always wanted to talk to. And, more importantly, a man that I've always wanted to ask one question to, and it is asked during this interview. So, great success.
Is that the Scott Putsky one you told us not to talk about?
Man, well, okay. I've had two interviews I've always wanted to have, but this is the gold one, Bill. This is the one where you and I, on many a night, we've talked about a man's hair, and thankfully, we'll be talking to this man about hair care products. And you know, Bill, start taking notes right now, because really, this is where the show starts to gas. You know.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this is when we actually do a show. But now it's really going to kick ass. But, yes, we have a special mystery guest on the program this week, and you'll definitely check him out tonight, of course, during the HD debut on Spike TV. But also on the program this week, we have, from Chikara Pro Wrestling, that fantastic little group in Philadelphia, we have the director of fun, Leonard F. Chikarson, on the program this week. So two big guests, one mystery, one fun man, and so many good times. And I'm with two fun men right now, which makes this sound very peculiar. But, you know, guys, I haven't really...
If by peculiar, you mean gay, absolutely.
I would like to remind you, Mike Sempervivi, to watch your tongue at times.
Ah, yes.
By gay, you mean happy, of course.
Yeah. Oh, 1890 style.
We're totally 1890 style gay.
Exactly.
You know, we are, you know, this is the program, this is the place to be. You know, I'm trying to think of the last time I've talked to any of you gentlemen. Mike, I believe it was when your brain almost exploded.
That's true. See, anything that happens today can be blamed on the brain cyst.
Yes, where I was.
What happened there. Was it a slurpy thing?
It's an actual legitimate brain cyst. Don't ask
wow.
me how this came up, but yes, the... And said cyst actually, Bill, is exploded. So luckily, it wasn't anything too bad because, you know, I'd be dead and stuff. But, yeah, so.
And
blame it on that if I say anything that's out of sorts that people may not like.
Well, the thing is, I want to blame it on the cyst. Yeah. But at the same time, I would like to say that the cyst was possibly because of years of working the Japanese style.
Hey, don't ever blame the strong style for my problems.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Takayama. But, you know, the last time I remember seeing Bill Barlow, though, and it's been a while. Bill, when was the last time I saw you, as a matter of fact?
You saw me briefly, I guess, during the marathon.
What? I ran a marathon?
You did. You, in fact, ran a marathon.
Holy,
I believe you put the show on sabbatical to deal with the economic crisis and then to run a marathon.
Well, I actually blame possibly the show, the lack of show, on the economic crisis. But still, I mean, I think as Barbara Streisand once said, happy days are here again. And as Ralph Malf said, Potsy, sit on it. Is this thing?
I have nothing to add.
Yeah, of course.
No, you got me there.
Oh, crap. You are right, Bill Barlow. I did run a marathon because, of course, I have not stopped wearing my marathon medal since I got it October 12th. So,
are you still wearing the number, too?
You know, I actually haven't showered since October 12th. So, actually.
Are your nipples still bleeding?
Well, yeah. Yes. Yes, they are.
How do you get bloody nipples at a marathon? Unless it's like a marathon of, like, you know, titty twisting.
I would like to say, watch the titty twisting and, more importantly, blading. So, you know.
Nipple blading.
It's, you know, it's something I've done before in the past. I'm not proud of it, but you know what? It's been all in good fun because I did, of course, run the Chicago Marathon on October 12, 2008. It was stupendous. I did well. And there was one point in the race where I was about to give up, where I was sitting there going, you know, I put the show on hold. I put a lot of things on hold. I've been focusing on my training, my prayers, my vitamins, the believing in myself, all the demands of Runamania, and then, of course, or Hazamania. And then, of course, I was like, oh, God, I so want to quit right now. I'm ready for this to be over. And for next thing I know, there was a lanky, bearded gentleman running at me, pointing his bang-bang fingers in my face, saying, Lipinski. And it was, of course, Bill Barlow, who totally did the greatest run-in ever for a marathon. And I definitely have you to thank, because you made at least mile 19.5 to mile 19.7 a whole lot of fun.
That was about as far as I could run.
I can't believe the furry man beast was out there.
Well, that's the thing. He was covered. It wasn't Barlow in his full man beast glory, you know. And it was not Rhino either. The last thing I want people to think is someone was goring me into the wall during the run race. Although I probably would have appreciated that.
That
would explain the bloody nipples as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. See, nipples okay, titty twister not okay. But but seriously, folks, oh, we're never going to get a guest from them again. No, it was fantastic to see Barlow. It was fantastic to see lots of people. It was fantastic for all the people that definitely helped me raise $2,000 for the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, and especially many of the fantastic listeners we have here on the show. My caps up to each and every single one of you. Now I only hope to do a show maybe, you know, that's as long as the marathon this week. So, you know, I think that task could possibly be accomplished.
Probably, what, about 4 hours and 40 minutes?
Yes. I think we could do it, you know. And I think us just talking here, I think we've wasted some time, some good time, you know.
I wish we could have talked to the mystery guest for 4 hours and 40 minutes.
That would have been incredible. But we would have to do it in a hair salon. Like, if I ever did, like, an Ultimate Insiders type shoot, of course, Last Call with Raven and Sandman due on November 14th, I believe, which is, you know, perfect Obama gets into the office victory present to yourself. But yeah, if I could do a mystery shoot with the mystery guest for the Ultimate Insider series, that's where I'd want to do it, is a beauty salon. And that's all the hints I'm going to give about that. But guys, we're here. This is a pro wrestling show on a pro wrestling site. So let's talk pro wrestling. I know it's something that we don't talk about often here, but I think we should focus on it. Bill Barlow, what have you thought about pro wrestling lately?
I've scarcely been watching pro wrestling lately.
You have been?
I've been slacking off. I was following the betting on the Goulet Awards for the best mustache, and that took a fair amount of time.
And more importantly, who won the Goulet Award? And more importantly, if it was a wrestling division, which current wrestler would possibly deserve the Goulet Award?
Ooh, wow. It seems like there's kind of a lack of great mustaches in wrestling at the moment.
I have to say hallelujah on this case, Bill, because it seems like the vintage day of the mustache, something that we, you and I, you know, single-handedly tried to bring back last year. Or was it last year or 2 years ago? Years fly by, like, you know.
I think it was about 2 years, yeah.
2 years ago.
Wow.
It didn't seem like I, you know, basically it seemed that people were more interested in boat beards, you know. And I want to say that's just basically mustache laziness.
Nothing wrong with mustache laziness. It's what made this country great.
I agree with you, and I have no problem with the beard, but I'm just saying in general, like, you know, you could just shave that beard very nicely and you have a nice mustache.
Huh.
You know?
Fair.
I'm, yeah, see? Yeah, yeah, see? Who did win the Goulet, by the way?
Oh, man, in all the excitement of following it, I forgot to pay attention to who actually won.
That's stupendous.
I'm so unprepared.
That's so awesome. Mike Sempervivi, I know you watch wrestling from time to time.
I do.
I'll wait to break the fourth wall and say, no, I haven't watched in 5 years.
Well, it is hockey season now, so things wind down a little bit. No, I had the honor of seeing Raw on Monday night, and I didn't kill myself, which was a surprise.
That's always a good sign, definitely, because wrestling should not drive you to suicide. You know?
It was damn close, though. It really was.
Were you, like, cutting yourself or something?
Well, yeah, Adam Lee came on, and then, you know, I was going side to side. But then, you know, by the end, I was about to go up and down.
I think what the show needed was Steve Mongo McMichael as a special guest referee.
With the chihuahua he used to have while hosting Nitro?
With the chihuahua he used to have. And then, of course, you know, jackasses, literally, you know, just basically taking body slam spots.
What will they say Dusty's ass on them?
Oh, my goodness. That's that. You know, if I wasn't wearing a WCW New Blood t-shirt right now while recording this, Mike Sempervivi, I would give you the greatest high five ever.
You know, does Kali have a mustache?
He's got to get the gruff thing going.
He's got the gruff goatee.
Days of growth.
I wouldn't really classify that as a mustache, you know. I'm trying to think of people in TNA right now that have mustaches, and it just seems like it's a bearded wrestling world right there right now.
Are there any mustaches in Florida looking to come up? I mean, are there any developing mustaches?
I would think that somewhere in developmental there could be a fantastic mustache wrestler that's just about ready to make his mark, you know? That Consequences Creed fellow in TNA, you know what he's lacking? Mustache.
Yeah, an Apollo Creed style mustache.
Heck yeah, Carl Weathers.
He'd be champion. Unless he is champion. He'd be a great champion then, if he had a mustache.
If he was just more like Carl Weathers and getting a stew on and such, like, I would definitely appreciate that.
Action Jackson, yes.
That's a fantastic Action Jackson mustache reference right there, Mike Sempervivi. But
maybe it's time for a Dan the Beast Severn to return.
Oh, classic mustache. I wonder, though, here's my problem with Dan the Beast Severn. Has the mustache held up?
Oh, yeah, he's pushing his 50s now, isn't he, in his late 40s?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, is the mustache all gray? Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, I mean, like, you know, that's definitely something to think about, you know? What if Bill Apter, wouldn't Bill Apter have a totally different wrestling career if he had a mustache the entire time?
Hey, what if Bill Watts had one?
Oh, my goodness. That would be great if Bill Watts had one, but it was like one of the curly Q ones, like the Eagle.
The old Texas, yeah, the old Raleigh Fingers mustache. Or
that'd be, and whenever he sat there and said, you guys aren't leaving until the last match, and he tackled and then just curled it. That would be wonderful.
So like a villainy-style mustache.
Like a dastardly mustache.
When I was talking to a good friend of mine, Mike Quackenbush, and we were just talking about wrestling business, I did mention that if he were ever to grow a heel, he should really grow a heelist mustache that people would sit there and just be like, that would be sort of the envy of Mustache Quack. And plus, more importantly, Mustache Quack is pretty cool. See? Even for me, this is hard.
Maybe Kozlov could get a mustache.
You know, if Kozlov would have a mustache, I might care about him, you know. I just want to hear him about loving the WWE and stuff. I don't care about, you know, his Sambo stylings or anything like that, you know.
I always assume they're talking about Samba.
Oh, well, that
so
makes
we're going to get a dancing Kozlov soon.
A dancing Kozlov is a fantastic thing. Oh, boy.
I've only been following wrestling enough to make fun of it.
Well, that, you know what? Sometimes that's the most important thing, you know. TNA had a pretty decent pay-per-view show, which I'll be talking about later on with our good friend Rob Naylor. I was privy to enjoy the Bound for Glory and, more importantly, the Burning of the Abyss, which I think is really obviously the start of fall season now. You know, forget about what's on your television. That's really the beginning of fall.
Yeah, light a abyss up to let you know autumn's here.
Oh, you know, the sad thing is I was about to censor you when you said light abyss up, but it felt good, you know. We're just working through the kinks here. It's been a while since we all talked together, and usually we'd sit there and talk and chat and laugh, but we're back, guys. We're back pretty much. I want to go full-blown until I find something else to occupy my time with besides the show. So I'm giving it 2 weeks.
Like,
I was
going
to say, Ed.
You're like, girls? If it was girls in cars, it would be 1 week. But just girls, that's 2 weeks. You know? But usually around this time, Mr. Bill Barlow favors us with something he likes to call a lovely megaphone croon. And, Bill, do you have a megaphone croon at the ready for us this week?
Well, I happen to have such a thing.
Oh, my goodness. It's like we all prepared for the show.
Wow, we're near professional.
Oh, near professional.
Yeah. Semi-pro.
Let me get my crash on.
Hey, and what is the crooning topic this week?
It's about the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, my goodness. Something relevant, something we were talking about. Not really that much wrestling related, although there was one point of the marathon at mile two where there was someone in front of me that was actually running while wearing an enormous sumo suit. And, I really just wanted to chop him once, like really, really hard.
How'd they finish?
That's the thing. I don't know, because I think they actually disrobed from the sumo suit somewhere during the race, you know?
That would take a lot of commitment to wear a giant sumo suit for 20-some miles.
It would have been a lot. And more importantly, the fact is, you know that out of the 33,000 runners that ended up doing the Chicago Marathon, there was probably someone else there with a sumo suit. And when those two met, it probably was one moment in a time that will never, ever happen again. And more importantly, they probably sumoed.
One would hope.
Yeah, it would be wasted otherwise.
Yeah, you can't.
That would just look silly, really.
It would look preposterous.
Exactly.
Does anyone ever remember the Big Show sumo gear?
Yes.
I just wanted to put that picture back in people's head.
Thank you, which makes me think of Akebono in a Mawashi or whatever they call the little diaper thing there.
I think what they call it is not very sexy.
No, yeah. Not on a 500-pound man.
No.
Have been created on a dare, don't you think?
Or it's like
a long night drinking, like, let's get the biggest guys in all of Japan and have them wear the smallest clothes and push each other.
Yeah, and that does sound like something that was done while intoxicated. I agree. But the marathon is definitely not something to be done while intoxicated, Bill. I know.
No.
You can dehydrate very easily, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
And throw up, really.
And Barlow's idea of just doing Irish whiskey shots during all the water stops was not really. It's not that kind of an idea.
Black Bush?
It's not for you, perhaps. For me watching, it would have been a fantastic idea.
Oh, yeah. I would hope that you were possibly drinking during the marathon, because I could not. You know, I just had to deal.
It was like 10 in the morning when we were getting ready to go.
So you were just coming home, basically, is what you're telling me.
I just was kind of staggering by and saw you running a marathon.
And then you decided to run it for a quarter, and maybe like 0.2 of a mile, you know. Like
about a block, maybe.
It was a fantastic block, though. And I'll tell you this right now, Barlow's wife, much better runner.
Yes.
You know.
She was actually able to run and chant at the same time.
Running and chant.
There are people. Yeah, there were people who did not know she could run or chant, but she at the same time.
Wow. Now, were these like Tibetan chants, or what kind of chants were these?
Just Keith Lipinski.
Wow.
Completely collapsed. Again, like I'm out of the block. But
it's
Keith, did you hear this?
The sad thing is I did not hear it. Like, I was convinced until finding out later on that day when Bill showed up at my post-race party that I wasn't at because I was at the TNA pay-per-view.
You were in the hospital. Don't lie.
It was a worked hospital, Bill. I found out later on that that was not a mirage or a figment of my imagination, that it was actually Bill that I saw at one point of the race.
It's been 5 hours running. I imagine you start to see weird things.
Well, that's the thing. I actually had a conversation. I actually met another friend of mine from college when I was running through Pilsen. And I don't remember having a conversation. Like, I remember seeing him, and I don't remember saying that much. And apparently I was like, it feels like I've been running all day long, and I did not say it in croon form, so that upset me.
Oh. You know?
Although on one of the early miles in Boys Town, I was actually going to grab one of the megaphones that I saw that many people have and possibly croon my way to marathon greatness, but, you know, that just never – that didn't work out. You know, I decided to switch the energy to the run because the run's the most important thing.
I wonder what the record is for longest croon.
I think we should talk to our boy Guinness, and I don't mean the delicious Irish stout.
Damn, because I really could use one.
Perhaps
right now.
Some McGinnis.
The delicious Irish English lariat.
I don't need any of that.
You know. By the way, in one night in Chicago in November, WrestleWar 2008 will commence on one part of the South Chicago suburbs in Oak Lawn. You will have Reed Flair's debut and, of course, Ric Flair. On the other side, you will have Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness and an I Quit between Jimmy Jacobs and Austin Aries. So I wonder what we're going to do, Bill. Well, actually,
so they get David Flair to show up because that could be a tiebreaker.
I think seriously a tag team of the Flairs, you know, David, former United States heavyweight champion, and Reed, of course, recently debuting or soon to be debuting wrestler. I think if we could find a dream team for them to face at the PCW show, this could be an ideal situation for everyone. You know,
Rick's ex-wives.
Oh my god. That's going low. I was just thinking beer money. Or at least to like James Storm's beer gimmicks. That could have been the tag team.
Vicious and delicious.
Oh, well, the thing is, you know, like we mentioned before we started recording when we were actually funny, we were mentioning before that there was a push from Marcus Alexander Bagwell, or MAB, as good close friends call him, about possibly, you know, like, Bookers could reunite, of course, Vicious and Delicious and the American Males, and how, you know, from circumstances, from injuries, from whatever, those two tag teams have not reunited yet. So why don't Scotty Riggs and our good friend Scott Norton, you know, unite together as, of course, the, you know, the Vicious American Scotties?
I have no idea why this hasn't happened. The Hangman 3 was a much worse idea.
that's saying a lot right there.
They could bring in Scott Putski, and they could be the Vicious Polish-American Scotties.
That's a lot of good Polish-Americans right there, you know? I only wish my name was Scotty.
What's more Polish than Norton?
Nothing's more Polish than Norton, baby.
Levy, that's who it would be. That's more Polish.
Ooh.
Oh, that's now another Scott. He doesn't matter, though.
Maybe like a Scotty Cabana, perhaps? There's
what about Canyon? Polish Canyon. Who's more Polish than Canyon?
Nobody. But anyway, we were getting on to your megaphone croon, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Dare we digress?
Yeah, because we don't want to digress because we have a fantastic show to get to, of course. Leonard F. Chikarison of Chikar Pro Wrestling and, of course, the mystery guest still to come. And right now is the time in the show where I sit there and talk while Bill Barlow prepares for his epic megaphone croon. Yes, megaphone crooning, an ancient art. Actually brought to us Mike Sempervive, not from the crooning god, from the Inca Indians, if you believe that or not. They were the high priests of the megaphone croon, and they knew that basically for the perfect megaphone croon, you had to make sure that you stretched your vocal cords precisely. So, with a megaphone croon this week, here's the one and only Mr. Bill Barlow.
Woo! Oh, watching the Chicago Marathon is more exciting than watching Tron. Not too risky as no one died, but someone did take an ambulance ride. It brought to our faces real big smiles to see Dr. Keith come running after 20-some miles. Our chanting seemed to make some people amused, though Keith, he mostly looked confused, probably because he was running all day long. Thank you.
Wow.
Excellent.
That was
excellent.
That,
has not lost anything.
I'm
out of breath now.
That's training again, man. It's like everything else, man. If you want to be a world-class athlete, a half-assed marathon runner, or a megaphone crooner, you have to basically just keep at it. So you got to keep on keeping on. And speaking of keeping on, that brings us, of course, to the mystery guest. And the mystery guest will be revealed right after this. So please stay tuned. Now, here on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show, this is our mystery guest this week, a fantastic man that has taken some time out of his busy schedule, and he is actually going to be on tonight, Spike TV, the big, huge HD debut of TNA Impact, and our guest right now at this time, a man that made a big impression on the back of Samoa Joe at Bound for Glory, the one and only multiple-time world heavyweight champion, Kevin Nash. Kevin, how you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. I guess everybody wants to know, and you sort of explained it on Impact last week, why did you turn on Samoa Joe at Bound for Glory? Was it a lack of respect on the part of Joseph? Was it maybe some of the things you were trying to get across to him he wasn't understanding?
Well, I think that, without a doubt, that the seed was planted in my mind when he, basically just disrespected Scott to the point that he did when Scott now showed the pay-per-view. And, my concern was that night that, I was worried, but if we were having a wrestling match with, if my buddy didn't show up, I was more concerned about, his health and his well-being than I was about a match that night. And he kind of pushed my buttons, and there was, the resentment's been there, and I tried to overlook it, and he is what he is, and I think I taught him a lesson. I wanted to teach him a lesson, and I wanted to be, to lose a match is one thing, to lose a championship, I don't think he'll forget that.
No, I don't think
but it's like anything else, when you're the champion, you sometimes take that for granted, and you never know when that's going to come back your way.
Right.
If ever.
You were basically a mentor to Joe after everything had broken down between you and Scott in that pay-per-view a few months ago. You were mentoring Joe. And I guess for young wrestlers that are listening to the show right now, what's the best piece of advice you can give to them?
Well, even when I broke in, and one of our road agents was Chief Jay Strongbow. And, I'd watched, Chief work and stuff, and his style wasn't what was current, but he knew the intangibles of the business. He knew he was smart with his money, and so when you talk to him, it wasn't so much like you've got to be able to look beyond the differences in style, because the style of the work is always going to change. But there's whether you want to call it the it factor, or there's a certain, when a guy's had success, there's a reason that he's had success. Because you have to be able to play the politics. There's so many aspects to be successful in this business. And I think when somebody takes the time to sit you down and tell you these are the things that, this is the ABCs of how to have longevity, how to you know, to make sure that that when you're done, you have money, you have, you know, you have security. I think that you know, it's important if somebody, you know, like, I remember like Rick Rude was another guy, was like the first like star guy that kind of like took me under his wing and said, you know, you've got the ability to do this. You just need somebody to teach you when to do what you do. And, you know, Rick was like my mentor. And, you know, the 2.5 years I spent with him was invaluable. I mean, it just, then when I went to New York and actually got a push, I understood them with Scott and Sean kind of taking me under the wing there. You know, I learned even more as a bodyguard spot, like watching them, you know, put together matches and you know, knowing where the match was going and watch things break down and watch them correct things on the fly. And so, I mean, I really got some incredible just on-the-job training with two great workers. And kind of adopted their style, and you know, have had success. And when a person, you know, that comes in, I mean, especially if you guys will say, watch my match, and I'll say, okay, I'll watch the match, and they'll come back and say, what do you think? And the first thing I'll say is, what story were you trying to tell? I'll say, what do you mean? I'll say, well, you just went out there and did a bunch of spots. Like, what were you trying? What story were you trying to tell me? That you're athletic, you know. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Did you move your storyline forward, or did you regress? Like, when you look at it, there's just a different way to look at the business as a business. Like, you know, yeah, you got all your stuff in, and yeah, you're athletic, and the crowd liked it. But you know, if you're not moving storyline, if you're not, you know, that's, you know, there's things that you have to do to become successful. I mean, it's pretty proven that the guys that have been successful all pretty much go by the same pattern.
I gotcha. No, that's very wise. There was a lot of talk a few months ago about your contract situation with TNA. There was, you know, your name was removed from the website and such, but obviously after what we've seen, you are definitely back and on TNA and definitely tonight in HD on Spike TV. What made you want to stay with TNA?
I mean, a lot of things. Just the comfort level of, you know, that I've been here. The fact that, like, my wife was probably the biggest, because my wife sat me down and she said, you know, because I was, you know, at one point I was, you know, 99.9% sure I was going to go back to WWE and finish up. And I talked to Sean and we were trying to work out some storyline things and of what, you know, what we wanted to do. And, my wife just looked at me. She says, "Why would you want to go back on the road when we live in Florida? You're 90 minutes from work, 5 days a month. You know, if you do go on the road, it's only a couple of days a month. You're home." She goes, "You've saved your money. You know, you're beat up. You know," she says, "I just can't see you doing, you know, going on the road and doing 12, 14 days a month. Yeah. You know, with." You know, say with Batista or somebody like that working every night, because I just don't see how you're gonna last. She says, you know, the guys you work with know your limitations. They take care of you. She goes, it's not like that up there. She goes, it's just a different situation. She says you're gonna cut your career way short. I said, yeah, but WrestleMania this. I just went out. She said, I've been married to you when you were on top at 5 WrestleManias. She said, you were miserable. She said, I don't want to hear it. I was just like, okay. she says, when do I get a vote? You know, she goes, for 20 years I've sat around here and not had a vote on what you do with your career. She goes, when do I get a vote? And I said, you have a vote. And I said, you're 50% of this. She says, you're an idiot if you leave. And then the kicker was that they wanted me to dye my hair.
What?
My wife loves my hair gray. And she said, she says, if you dye your hair, you're the biggest sellout of all time. She said, you always said that you wanted to be the first wrestler to actually age on television. You know, I said, yeah, I did, you know, because, you know, guys always dye their hair. I said, why doesn't anybody just go gray?
The gray goose?
You know, exactly. It's just, why can't you just... just go gray. You know?
I think as someone that is also going gray, I think it's just basically a common stereotype. You see those Just for Men ads and everything else, and all of a sudden it's just like, you know, oh, gray. There must be something wrong with me because I'm gray.
Right.
Screw that.
And you know, you look at it and you say, I mean, and some people, I mean, I'm sure if I dyed my hair, I'd look younger, but at the same time, if God intended me to have pigment in my hair, I'd have pigment in my hair. You know, it's like, this is how I'm supposed to look.
Oh, tremendous. We are here, of course, with Kevin Nash, TNA, Impact, in high definition. And I bet that gray hair is going to look awesome.
It is. It's going to be like a gunmetal gray, I believe, in the high def.
That's sizzling. That is totally, totally awesome. Just a few brief questions before we wrap it up, because I know you're in Vegas right now. You obviously want to hit the slots and just have a good time on the strip, getting ready for the big tag team match tonight. Have you ever thought about going back to possibly wrestling writing and more of a booking role, Kevin?
I mean, if the company wanted me to, I'm involved somewhat. I mean, just creatively, like they ask my opinion on things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, sometimes, like when creative tells me like where they're going and what their vision is, like I think they've got some really good ideas, and I just think that we need to and I always say like the locker room's like the team. I think the team sometimes needs to just, including myself. You know, we just need to work harder in doing, you know, like, I guess what's the word I'm trying to say is the execution.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work a little bit more diligently on the execution of the storylines of what they're trying to accomplish. I mean, because the difference between good and great and all these storylines is just the details. You know, those little details that make something good or great, and sometimes as performers we miss those details. I think we just got to do a better job of picking up those loose ends. But I think that the storylines that we've got coming out of Bound for Glory are some really strong storylines, and so I think it's something we can build viewership on. So, you know, if they asked me, you know, hey, would you like to sit down for a couple of months and just throw some ideas in if one of the other guys was burnt out? That's fine, but I don't second-guess the booking. You know, I might disagree with it at times, or I might question some things, but, I mean, they have final say, and I go out and perform it the best I can. I'm no longer doing my locker room litigation. I just kind of have tried to just take that load off me and just, you know, do what I'm told. So it makes my life a lot easier.
Now, do you miss the weekly interaction, though, with Alex Shelley or the Pavarazzi Championship
Absolutely.
Series at all?
Absolutely.
I mean, fantastic.
You either have chemistry with somebody or you don't. And, like, Alex, like, I have natural chemistry with him. Like, he when we see each other backstage, you know, and we sit down and have just 5 minutes, we'll just throw stuff back and forth and we make each other laugh. Like, he makes me laugh, I make him laugh. And, you know, if you can do that, just naturally, it. I don't care anything. Like buddy films always work, you know. If you watch like two guys, you know, on TV, and it seems like they're having a good time together, and you know, I think me and that was the beauty of Scott Hall and I was it wasn't an act. Like you know, half the time we were, you know, half in the bag when we went out there, and you know, we'd walk out there, cut our promo, walk back, go to the bar. I mean, it was just kind of our life was kind of an open book. We just kind of lived it on TV.
Yeah.
And we were buddies, and people knew we were buddies, because when they saw us, we were on the road, they saw one of us, they saw the other one. And Alex and I thought had a chance to kind of, you know, to get that going, but they, you know, they went in a different direction, and I mean, I think the Guns are a great tag team, so I think everybody's in a good spot, but, you know, I would hope that somewhere down the line that, I'd do something with him again.
That would be fantastic, especially if you finally did that intervention for Sanjay Dutt that he so desperately needs.
Yeah, he does need one.
It's bad. It's really bad. But definitely check out Kevin Nash, TNAWrestling.com, every Thursday night on Impact in HD. Final question for you, Kevin, before we let you go, because I know you're a busy man. I've been waiting so many years to ask you this. hair care tips. I need them because you've always seemed to have the greatest mane in the history of the professional mat sport.
Number one thing is only wash your hair every third day.
Every third day, okay.
That's key. That's key number one, because you'll strip all the natural oils out of your scalp. But always wash your hair every day with hot water to get the oils out and get the dirt out. And then change your shampoo and your conditioner. I'll put conditioner in my hair every day, you know, but I won't wash it every day. But I'll condition it so it won't be tangled and, you know, it'll keep it sheen. And then, like, every 3 months, change your shampoo and your conditioners. So your hair doesn't, you know, because then what ends up happening is the shampoo is just your body gets used to it. It doesn't strip all the product out and everything else. So that's about it.
That's, you know, I know you're probably like, this guy has been waiting how long to ask me this question, but believe you me, your answer was worth a lifetime of waiting. So
yeah.
That, of course.
You know, my son said the same thing, because his hair was flying away, and I said, do you wash your hair every day? Because I said, son, I said, you can't wash your hair every day. I said, you got to look the natural. I said, every third day you wash it.
Oh, my.
All right. He's got it. So he's got it now.
Between your son and, of course, your wife, it seems you're living a life of domestic bliss right now. So.
Yeah, my son's 12, and he's really into playing guitar. Like, guitar is his life right now. So, like, I come home, and I came home the other day from the gym, and he was upstairs, and my wife was downstairs playing the piano. My son was upstairs strumming his guitar. And I kind of looked, and I was just like, wow, this is very Norman Rockwell. Like, I never thought, and I walk in with my long gray hair and my tattoos. I just said, oh, things are good.
Awesome, awesome. Well, definitely, best of luck. Definitely, we hope you, I don't know how long do you actually see yourself wrestling, Kevin?
Until they drive a stake in my heart, probably.
Fantastic. So look for that coming up on HD on Impact very, very soon. But
thanks,
Kevin, it's been a pleasure talking to you this week here on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. To the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. I'm, of course, the good doctor, Dr. Keith Lipinski here. I'm being joined right now by a man that definitely knows fun, especially when we're talking about the wonderful land of Chikara Pro Wrestling. He, of course, is the director of fun, a fantastic fellow. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show, our good friend, Leonard F. Chikarason. And Leonard, how you doing, my friend?
Hey now, how's it going? What's going on, Dr. Keith?
Oh,
it's going well.
It's going well for me as well. Last weekend, Global Gauntlet, two humongous shows, and I was sadly not there, but they look to be action-packed and exciting. You obviously were there. As a director of fun, how do these shows rate compared to the other Chikara Pro shows that we've seen so far this year?
Well, I think this has been a banner year for Chikara 2008. Lots of new different stuff, and one of the great things besides branching out to different markets, Midwest, the New England area, bringing in lots of new talent, not only just to Chikara, but in the States in general. There was of the seven guys that wrestled for Big Japan, many of them were making their America debut, or if not their debut, their return to the States in quite some time, which is always a big deal, and especially to have it happen in Chikara makes it even a bigger deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, at the first night, though, I mean, did you feel a little bad? Because, of course, you know, Big Japan did win four of the five huge matches that they had up against their Chikara opponents.
Well, again, I'd love for competitions like this for Chikara to come out on top whenever we have people come in a representative fashion like this, or when they go abroad, like we have a lot of people going to Germany in a couple weeks representing Chikara. I would love for a Chikara team to take the whole thing, the new tag world happening in Germany, but, you know, these things happen, and it was all good matches, it was all great competition, and the next night in the gauntlet, Chikara came out on top, so that's very important.
That is extremely important. On night one, you actually got to participate a little bit as you basically made a ruling to make, you know, the tag team match, the non-title tag team match for Sunday's big show into a, you know, a humongous tag team title match for the Championes de Parejas, of course, Chikara's tag team titles. You know, how is there a lot of times where a match is happening or a match is finished where you want to go out there and make a ruling of some sorts?
Well, again, I would like to make a lot of rulings, but the way that the board of directors have things set up, I'm essentially putting the matches together. The match was already scheduled to happen. They don't really give me a lot of on-the-fly changes outside of what happened in the Midwest, but that was out of our control. The match was already set up to be a non-title affair. The Ethereum portal put me on the spot, and again, it wouldn't have been fair for me to put the Super Smash Brothers in a situation where they would have had to defend the title to not be ready for it. As soon as they came in the building the next day, I asked them, and they said, no problem, anytime, any place. And, you know, unfortunately, we all know what happened there. But, you know, if the match is already in place, I can make some changes to it, but to throw something together, it's a lot of conference calls with the board of directors and Commissioner Coulier.
And how is your relationship with Commissioner Coulier?
Very good. Back in July, flew me out to California for a big meeting, which set up the Midwest shows and started putting the seeds together for the Global Gauntlet. It was a very nice plane ride, first time flying first class, so I can't complain about that. And the board of directors are not only happy with everything the way it's been going, my handling of the match, making abilities, but also Commissioner Coulier, very happy after some things that had happened regarding what's referred around the office, quote-unquote, as Saget Gate. Everybody's very happy, and you know what? If we can change the subject, I think I said too much.
Saget Gate. I do not know anything of this Saget Gate, and sadly, by sitting there and punching into my computer real quick, there's not a Wikipedia entry for Saget Gate. Maybe one of them Chikara fans kids will tell. Maybe Dan will know something about this. But if you want to change the subject very quickly, even though you mentioned it, I am totally fine with that. You know, you mentioned, of course, you know, going to Hollywood and, of course, meeting Dave Coulier. And, you know, it seems that so far he has definitely helped keep the fun in Chikara, even in not-so-fun times, like the Midwest shows, which, you know, basically you had a number of cancellations and crazy internet reporters doing color commentary. What are your memories and thoughts about the Midwest string of shows?
The Midwest string of shows, I thought, was a great opportunity to get out there and meet some of the other Chikara fans outside of the Pennsylvania northeastern area. I thought the shows came off great. The main event of both nights were awesome, and anytime we get the likes of Sami Callihan gracing our rings with his presence, Shima Zion returning, Drake Younger was there for both weekends. It was a great time.
Awesome. No, it was. I thought the weekend were, you know, I would have liked to see more people there, but overall, I was very happy with everything that went down that weekend, including, of course, you know, the Super Smash Brothers. Now, here's the thing. Here's possibly a ruling from the Director of Fun, and I know possibly Player Dose spoke to you about this after the tag team title match over the weekend. Is there any way that you can ban Player Uno's NES pants?
Well, again, as everyone who was there in attendance, and you get the DVD when it comes out shortly, you'll see there was some dissension there between Uno and Dose regarding Uno's pants, the NES controller being paused, costing the titles. And I make no jurisdictions over what people should or shouldn't wear to the ring, you know, as long as they do wear something in the ring. And I think that's something that they're going to work out themselves, and hopefully sooner than later. I mean, get back on the winning ways.
I mean, do you have a rule, though, where you basically sit there and say, you know, you must wear pants to the ring? I mean, is that one of the Director of Fun initiatives that we should know about?
Well, I think it's just common courtesy that if you're going to be competing in the squared circle, you know, clothing is not an option. It's almost a must.
Okay. This is for people that, you know, possibly don't follow Chikara, for young, inspiring wrestlers. This is very good to know.
Definitely. Again, one of the first things that you should do if you're becoming a wrestler, besides being trained, possibly, hopefully, at the Ichikar Wrestle Factory, is to, you know, get gear and make sure you have clothes on when you're wrestling.
That's I mean, not a lot of people have probably thought about this in the past, but, you know.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised on how many people are like, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to be wearing pants now.
How foolish am I? So, you have, though, I mean, lately it seems like you are getting a little bit more involved with Ichikar, which is good to see someone, you know. I don't see you as the traditional commissioner role because, of course, you know, I don't get to see you, you know, basically in matches, which is always nice. But, I mean, I don't think of you as, like, Commissioner Catch or Commissioner Piper or any of the fun commissioners that we've seen in professional wrestling or President Flair or President Little Nate. But you've definitely been making some headway, making some decisions. And one of those decisions, it seems, is the Ichikar wellness policy. And that affected a very good friend of the show's. My good friend Hydra actually was suspended for 30 days because of the wellness. What is the Ichikar wellness policy? And more importantly, how does it differ perhaps from like a WWE wellness policy?
Well, I'm not really even clear on what the WWE's wellness policy is. I know that with Ichikar's wellness policy, we want to make sure that, you know, nobody has mentioned is getting any assistance on the side, and, you know, without getting into any sort of legalese or getting a lawyer on a three-way conference call. I think that's about as ambiguous as I could leave it. But let's just say everyone could be happy that Ichikar, Hydra was back in Ichikar action this past weekend, and everything is doing just fine with Hydra right now, according to the team of doctors that we have on staff at the Ichikar offices.
No, so basically he passed the test this weekend, or we won't know this for a few weeks, because I'm a little worried, not just for Hydra, but for the Sea Donsters.
The Sea Donsters are doing just fine. Hydra's doing just fine, and Hydra's doing okay. That's the best I can tell you.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Now, another thing that came out of the shows this weekend, and of course, for any of these Ichikar shows that you that people need to watch, because it is without a doubt one of the best wrestling groups out there today. Definitely check out SmartMarkVideo.com, and of course, the weekly podcast, The Go-Go. And one of the shows over this weekend, Equinox showed up again, and I do have a question. How do you know that it's not perhaps an Equinox from the past? Possibly found the Galactica 3000 machine and possibly, you know, basically transported time and space to come back to the New Alhambra Arena.
Well, as far as I know, the time machine did go the way of Lance Steele, and that was the last time that I saw it. I would not put it past anyone in the Ichikar locker room to use a time machine, as it is very common practice in many wrestling organizations. However, when you do get the DVD of SmartMarkVideo.com of this weekend show, you will definitely find out what is going on with to his return, if you will, to Ichikar action.
I gotcha. And I know it's that Jimmy Olsen chap, which really, really saddens me, because I hope he's still keeping the fringe on. Just because he was possibly my favorite fringe Ichikar warrior. But, you know, I know you also got involved. You like getting your hands dirty, it seems, because you have set up the captains for this year's Cybernetico. And I'm looking very, very forward to that, of course. Any multi-man match in Ichikar is a good time. But when you sit there on one side, you know, you have just fantastic action, and Vin Gerard, the Young Lions Cup champion, and on the squad B, of course, the captain, Equinox / Jimmy Olsen, and multiple men, goodness, this is going to be a very, very, very good Cybernetico. But I have to ask about this Vin Gerard character. He seems to be sort of the proverbial thorn in your side, if you will.
Yeah, he seems to have some sort of problem with more or less every ruling that I've made. This year, 2008, he, you know, makes these ridiculous demands after he won the Young Lions Cup at a show that I wasn't at. You know, and I try to be as fair as possible to everyone, including people that I may not get along with or like very much or like at all on a personal level. But, you know, when it comes to putting the shows together, it's professional, and I try to make sure the shows are as good as we could possibly make them, and the matches are as exciting to fans as I could possibly make them. Vin Gerard apparently wants everything just handed to him, wants an easy cakewalk, you know, be able to pick his matches, do what he wants, come and go as he pleases. But, you know, if you saw recently online, he's announcing some of his teammates, and, you know, I did give him the opportunity that he could choose anyone he wants, really, to be on his team for Cibernetico, because he really doesn't have a lot of friends outside of Stigma and Colin Delaney. And, you know, those of you who saw the video online saw that Colin Delaney really didn't even want to team with him for Cibernetico.
No.
So how close could his friends be if they don't even want to team with him? So he's been given the option that he could choose anyone he wants to team with. And I think he's going to be making some of those announcements from what I'm getting from the office and the emails and the IMs and the text messages. I don't even know how he got my cell phone number, but he's constantly harassing me about who he's choosing and how we're going to bring these people in. But, again, Vin Gerard's nothing but a problem.
It's. I mean, how many text messages, phone calls? I mean, does he every once in a while show off in the Directors of Fun mansion and just, you know, ask for possibly a cup of sugar and some Chikara rulings?
Unfortunately, he does know where I live, but luckily he's on a different sleep schedule than I am. I think it's very similar to that of Benji Bronx, where he's sleeping during the day.
Like Artie Lang is right now.
Possibly. Yes. But no, I don't run into him in my private life, thankfully. But, you know, I see, you know, dirty bandanas left in front of my house, empty DVD cases of Worst of Equinox left in front of my house, and I'm just like, oh, what a lazy bum, he just left them here.
Could he possibly be, you know, living in front of your house?
You know, there's a very good chance that he could be living down the street from my house. There's a whole myriad of fast food places, and I know he frequents fast food places very often. It's very cheap food. Someone who lives, you know, by the meager means that he does frequents fast food restaurants quite a bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's living behind the dumpster of one of those fast food establishments.
I would think possibly an Arby's would probably be where you'd find him. You know, just
he'd be lucky.
That's
to be behind an Arby's. I think it's probably more like an A&W or one of those like lower tier ones.
Oh man, that's pretty low tier if it is an A&W. But you know. But the Cibernetico, I mean, 8-man teams, I believe so far Vin is picking, of course, his unstable running mates. We'll see if Colin actually does, you know, team with him. And I believe recently he picked the Order of the Neil Solar Temple, which is interesting because, of course, I don't think the Order of the Neil Solar Temple, while, you know, evildoers, I don't think they really like Vin Gerard very much.
No, again, as I mentioned, not a lot of people do, but it's a high-prestige match. I haven't heard from Ultramantis Black or Crossbones regarding any sort of disagreements about teaming with them, but, you know, unfortunately, because of Vin Gerard's placement of not having a lot of friends or compatriots, he's going to get to choose whoever he wants, and I'm sure most of these people will, you know, for the prestige of being in the main event in the big Cibernetico, which is one of our biggest events of the year, I think they might be able to deal with Vin Gerard for just a little while to be in that big-time match.
Hmm. I gotcha. No, that's that. I hear you. I hear you. But let's talk a little bit more about Chikara, of course. Definitely, if you've not checked it out, definitely check out ChikaraPro.com. I got some big shows coming up, especially for all the people here listening in Germany. The Tag World Grand Prix, two nights. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the matches here. I don't know if you were the one that put together this match, the Mike Quackenbush versus Johnny Saint rematch with English Rounds. I mean, that is good times. And I know you have to be responsible for the dream team of Kota Ibushi and Pac being in the Tag World Grand Prix. I just have a feeling that seems like it has your proverbial fingerprints on it.
Let's just say I had less to do with it than you think. The people helping us out from WXW over in Germany, a lot of different international agents and so forth, helped put a lot of these matches together. Chikara is just helping host it, taking the idea of Tag World Germany Air, A lot of the teams, though, we had a lot of help bringing them in. It just wasn't me.
I mean, does WXW, as you mentioned before, definitely a help for this humongous undertaking in Germany? Do they have their own version of the Director of Fun, and have you met this person yet?
You know what? I haven't met him, but they do have a Director of Fun there, but he doesn't get out as much as I do.
I go, oh, cool. I mean, I would think so, you know, like, you know, I see some of the types that wrestle for there and just like, yeah, I could see them possibly just staying indoors. But then you look at Stigma and you're just like, okay, well, I could see him staying indoors if he wasn't homeless as well. But, you know, the big show's coming up, of course, in November. I mean, just two huge weekends of shows, first in Germany, then in Mass, and, of course, the I, McMahon show in Connecticut, already signed for that show. For the Championes de Parejas, Lince Dorado and Equinox Dos versus the Arcturian Portal. And then for the Young Lions Cup, your good friend Vin Gerard versus Worker Ant. So it's a busy month for Chikara. I mean, obviously you're a busy man, Leonard F. Chikarason.
Yeah, a lot of traveling, a lot of getting a lot of the wrestlers together to participate in all these shows. They have a lot of travel ahead of them as well. And more matches are going to be announced as we get closer and closer to these dates. Very much looking forward to both those title matches in Connecticut. Connecticut, always a great time. The two times that we've been there, the crowd is awesome. Not taking anything away from any of the other crowds, whether it be in Easton, whether it be in Hellertown, God rest its soul, or in the New Alhambra. But those two big title matches, very excited about both of those getting to happen in Connecticut.
I just hope that the Arcturian Portal could last as, you know, the Championes de Parejas for a while, because they are a fantastic team, and it definitely seems that 2008, a lot of people have taken notice of this wonderful Egyptian duo.
Yeah, they definitely have made their mark. They're branching out into a lot of other promotions outside of Chikara, really getting their name out there, and I think now that they are the Championes de Parejas, it's just going to add to the prestige and, you know, help their name become a bigger thing than it already is. They're teaming less than a little bit over a year together, and a very impressive duo. And, you know, they're going to have their work cut out for them, taking on Equinox and Lince, and, of course, going over to Germany. They're in Tag World Grand Prix. They're going to have a tough time there, too, I think.
That is rough. Hey, do you have a personal favorite? I mean, who do you like this year in the Tag World Grand Prix?
Well, I would love to have a Chikara representative win and be able to bring back the trophy or plaque or whatever the German Director of Fun has decided it to be. But you cannot discount, as great as those Chikara duos that are being sent over are, you cannot discount Martin Stone and Doug Williams. Again, that's just, I think that they're probably the team to beat in all of the Tag World Grand Prix this year.
No, I totally agree. I think there's some fantastic teams in this tournament. And in round one, of course, Williams is going to be facing the Colony. So right there, they have a tough contest right there. Hopefully the Colony can, of course, show their mettle in that match. But it's going to be tough to see. I mean, because this is definitely it's just not a Chikara tournament with maybe one or two teams from foreign wacky lands. I mean, you have teams from Canada involved in this. You have the English connection, as we mentioned before. And there's a lot of great teams in this, and it should be one hell of an exciting tournament for basically, you know, sort of the tail end of Chikara's 2008 season, which, as we mentioned before, has been fantastic. It's been a fantastic year. You and I are probably doing the show, let's say we're talking maybe 10 years in the future and talking about Commissioner Stamos, Commissioner Stamos sounds good. What do you think that people will remember about Chikara in the year 2008?
In the year 2008, unfortunately, I think one of the things that they're going to think about is the rise of Vin Gerard, but also the Global Gauntlet they're going to think about, Eddie Kingston's year that he's had, Claudio Castagnoli's year that he's had, Brody Lee's year that he's had. A lot of people have had very big breakout years in Chikara 2008, and I think those are just some of them off the top of my head that people remember for quite some time.
Now dealing with the Brody Claudio steel cage match, I mean, obviously that was a fantastic way to settle that. Do you see the cage possibly coming in more to play in Chikara? And if it does, can you possibly work on getting the more cage that's more adapt for fun, Letter F Chikarasen, and that cage being, of course, the WWE blue steel cage from the 1980s?
I think the big blue cage has been out in Z'd with King Kong Bundy and other larger type individuals. The cage that we had, I think, worked great for the match that we had. And, you know, it's the first time that we had a cage match in Chikara. It was for a score that really needed to be settled, a rivalry that just was getting a little out of hand. And I hope that in the future, cooler heads will prevail and we won't have to bring the cage back out again to settle a score that is that heated.
Yeah, that was definitely the, you know, you would have multiple man referees, that wouldn't help. You'd have Mitch Ryder coming in, that wouldn't help. I mean, it just basically drew to that proportions where definitely you needed lots of steel around the ring to, you know, get it settled, so to speak. So, you know, speaking of people coming in, coming out of Chikara, people coming in and out of cages, recently, a man that was formerly known, of course, from the Chikara Wrestle Factory, he left late last year, but he has been showing up once again at shows. Jigsaw, any idea about possibly his return to Chikara in ring action as opposed to just sitting out in the crowd?
Well, those of you who are listening to this were at the show this past weekend, saw what happened with Jigsaw and Unstable. The issue with Jigsaw still needs to be resolved. I had a very long conversation with him on Sunday regarding a possible return, but let's just say for right now, things are up in the air. There's still a lot that needs to be ironed out before we see Jigsaw return to a Chikara action.
I got it. No, totally 110% understandable. But, I mean, Chikara has had a banner year this year. If you have not checked it out, definitely go to smartmarkvideo.com, chikarapro.com. Just check the podcast to go, and you'll be hopefully hooked for life like everyone else should be. But, Leonard F. Chikarasen, this has been a fantastic time talking with you again. Any final thoughts before we wrap up the interview this week here on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show?
No, I think you hit all the points. I appreciate the time, Dr. Keith. You know, always a big fan of the show. It was good to see you over the Midwest weekend. Hopefully you'll be able to come out east to join us another time. You did hit all the websites, Smart Mark Video, ChikaraPro.com, ChikaraPodcast.com. I think Chikara is on the MySpace and the Friendster and the Facebook and the other internet contacting sites, so be sure to check us all out there. You had mentioned before Chikara Fan Dan and Chikara Fans Message Board. Check out there. Lots of good people on there as far as I'm being informed by the people at the office. But again, thank you for the opportunity, again, Dr. Keith, to join you on the Dr. Keith Show.
It's a pleasure. I do have one more question, though, that someone was like, please make sure that you ask Leonard F. Chikarasen this, because then I will name my firstborn after you, which really, if you know anything about me, it is totally just about getting my name out there. So give me one second just to pull up this question, you know, because this was obviously good enough that someone took the time to send me this in email form, and it wasn't Finn, although he just texted me, you know, asking a question or two about, you know, are you done with Chikarasen yet, so I can bug him, which really is creepy now that I think about it. I'd watch out if I were you, but just give me one moment to pull this up, sir. But yeah, this is a great year for Chikara, and if you have not checked it out yet, as I mentioned before, this is your time to check it out. And the last question, of course, is coming from George in VA. You know, regarding the Unstable, is it possible that Colin Delaney is just a lost soul? What drove Shane Storm to remove the halo from around his head? And in the end, isn't Vin Gerard in the need of a reality check?
You know, George in Virginia brings up a lot of very interesting points. A friend of mine, Brian, with a lot of charisma, had mentioned a lot of those points to me when speaking with a friend, Ryan Keith, among others, including Bruno and Ward. But no, I think George is incorrect in his statements, and he really should have a lot of pride in you know, his fandom of being a wrestling fan, as it were.
Okay, well, no, that seems a good an answer as any, of course, to wrap up the interview. And definitely, you know, watch out for that Vince Gerard, because it seems like I'm a little worried about you right now, that's all.
Yeah, last time he was on your show, he made, like, some sort of, like, bizarre overtures toward my wife and all sorts of other comments. He went on a bunch of other shows and made all sorts of remarks. And, again, he's just not only a creepy individual, again, he's a great wrestler. He's been very successful in 2008, but he's just a creepy, dirty, just gross individual.
Now, if you were trapped in an elevator with him, would you rather be trapped in an elevator, though, with him or with Eric the Midget or Ass Napkinhead?
Probably Eric the Midget, just because I like Eric the Midget. He's just a little guy. He wouldn't take up a lot of space, and I'd have a lot of good conversations with him regarding American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, all the other shows that he watches. But Vin Gerard, again, he would be happy to be in an elevator outside of the cold, you know, especially with now the winters. I'm not sure how the weather is out there in the Midwest, but Vin Gerard really needs to be careful about, you know, being outside in the cold and possibly getting frostbite and, you know, any sort of other illnesses that could come from not having any warmth during this cold time.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you see Vin lying outside a Chikara Pro show, definitely give him a few bucks so he can buy a nice sweater. So, but Leonard F. Chikarasin, it's been our privilege and pleasure to have you on the Dr. Keith Lipinski show this week.
Thank you again, Dr. Keith.
Not a problem. And we'll be back right after this. So please stay tuned. Back to the Dr. Keith Lipinski show. I'm, of course, the good doctor, Dr. Keith Lipinski. Joining us right now is my wonderful man who is maybe short in stature, but is huge in charisma. If you actually, you know, possibly remove the charisma from this man, it would go from Coal City all the way to possibly Joliet, Illinois. My good friend, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, and welcome back to the show, period, Rob Naylor.
Yeah, Coal City. Yes, I am your erstwhile colleague, and I'm happy to be talking to you again. I thought you started running in a marathon, and you didn't stop, but I'm glad to hear your voice. It's good to hear you're not demised.
And most importantly, I did not shit myself. So that's the one thing, you know, I wanted to, like, really, really bad. Like, it was weird, because, like, on the third mile, I swear to God, the odors that were coming from Chicago were two things, magic marker and shit. So I was very curious if there was some sort of awesome cologne that would have both two of those wonderful, wonderful scents. But, you know, Rob Naylor, you and I have not really talked. I want to say it's been about a year and a half since you and I have conversed.
Yeah, I think it was like 18 months. You know what? Back to Chicago and shit, since I'm really entertained by this.
Of course.
Wasn't Chicago the place where Dave Matthews Band dropped shit onto those folks underneath the bridge?
They emptied their tour bus latrines right on a bridge in Chicago, and apparently they did, you know, they got the Chicago River really good, which is, you know, sad, because they actually, if you're going to dump in the Chicago River, and this is basically for anyone that wants a Dr. Keith tourism guide of Chicago, if you're going to dump in Chicago River, Don't dump your shit where the Dave Matthews Band is. Go a few blocks over to where we refer to the river affectionately as the Dirty River and do it there instead. Because that way we're a lot happier. But the thing is, they were dumb. They were stupid. Like Icarus, they flew too close to the Southern Rod Naylor, and they did it like right in front of the Chicago Tribune building, which right there, the press, the paparazzi, everyone else, they were going to sit there and know when, you know, Dave Matthews Band shit stank. Of course, I knew it back in 94, so...
Yeah, I hope those poor shit goers were, you know, compensated pretty fairly for that.
That's
something you don't forget, Keith.
No,
watching the movie Wreck. You watch it and then you just it's in your mind. Like I've been having a Jack Evans month because Jack Evans is
obsessed. You've been lost in Mexico and yeah.
No coke lines off Tijuana Horse. But what I have Jack is obsessed with zombies, Keith.
Yes.
And I never understood it. I think zombie movies are stupid, and I don't ever watch them. I mean, Return of the Living Dead as a kid was kind of scary, but then, no, that was Night of the Living Dead was scary, the black and white one, but then Return of the Living Dead was stupid because it was kind of funny, haha, and I didn't, you know, I thought it was a waste. And then, like, all these Dawn of the Dead, fuck that shit. I never thought they were any good.
Oh, man, but, Dawn of the Dead fucking rules, Naylor.
Oh, no, it doesn't. But this new movie, Wreck, right, the quarantine movie that was made... Inner Mexico, the original one, the Mexican version or whatever. Someone sent me that on the YouTube, and little Robbie Naylor was crying like a bitch and jumping at his computer screen. Dr. Keith, zombies are real and zombies scare the fuck out of me. Like, I never got scared of zombies, and like for about a week now, I've been walking through my community, or walking through my hospital, thinking everyone's a motherfucking zombie. Goddamn dogs are zombies. I mean, have you seen this movie?
I have not seen it. I've heard about this, but I have not seen it, you know.
Dude, I'm YouTubing the link over to you. You got to watch it and just give me – we'll do a whole show on it next time. But people, the original is good. I don't know how good Quarantine will be, but there's no music. It's very Blair Witchy, and I enjoyed that movie. It seemed real to me. Movies that seem real scare me. Nothing else. Like all the pyro and the special effects, that takes me out of a movie. The music – I don't need any scary music to get scared. And this movie was, and there are little kids, zombies, a fucking dog zombie. I mean, it was just it's bad news. And you're quarantined in a motherfucking house.
Yeah, that would be the worst part possible. But, I mean, if you were quarantined in a house, at least you'd probably have some good wrestling to watch, I would think. You know, other than the fact you're constantly on the alert from zombies.
Yeah, I think Giant Baba was a zombie, but that'll be the next time we got Jack on the show, we're going to have wrestlers who may or may not be zombies, and Giant Baba is my number one pick.
Giant Baba? What about Mrs. Baba?
Oh, I don't know. Is she dead yet?
She should be. I mean, I
don't think they have to be dead. They don't have to be dead to be zombies, but, like, who looks like a zombie? Oh, we'll get into this next time, but yeah, there's a lot of wrestlers that kind of are zombie-esque. Chris Hamrick always reminded me of a zombie for some reason.
Hey, and that would be a great gimmick for him, the wrestling zombie. And I don't mean the of course, ECW zombie, because really that was so many years ago.
Oh, Tim Larson.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Wow. Now, did you feel this way before or after seeing the zombie movie that Tim Larson sucked, though?
Dude, I read the name Tim Larson for like a decade now, and I probably couldn't even pick him out of a line, but I just know he sucks.
That's tremendous. But, you know, you and I should talk wrestling, because obviously that's...
Should we?
I know, that's part of the thing.
90210, man.
Well, we could talk about 90210, because really,
yeah,
I mean...
You'll have to tell me the characters by the way they look, because I don't know the names yet, because I'm retarded, and it's been 6 weeks, and I still don't know the names of the characters. But we will talk about that. We'll end the show with that.
We'll end the show with wrestling. What people want to hear, as opposed to, you know, the wrestle talk, which no one...
Yeah, seriously. I mean, come on.
I mean, it's not like there's anything that's gone on in the wrestling world over the last 18 months, you know.
Yeah.
I
don't like it that much anymore. I like Japan. Japan wrestling's on the upswing, man. I watched some really good Big Japan with a bunch of guys' names I can't pronounce. And it was a Dragon Gate match with Shingo and Dragon Kid against Yoshino and Doi, which was... My match of the year, it was incredible. Like I love the Dragon Gate style, and when they come back and do different moves and switch off and play off stuff they've done before and make it really original, and when the fans are really into it, and Shingo, man, Shingo's the motherfucking Phoenix now, man. He has risen to the top of Dragon Gate, and the fans are really with him, so I hear they're drawing better now, too. So, you know, I'd love if Shingo came back. I hope he comes to Bola. I mean, I won't be there, but it'd be nice.
It'd be nice if you were there. More importantly, it'd be nice if Shingo was there. you know.
Yeah, I told the story about hitting Shingo in the arm, right?
You know what? If you haven't, this would be a new story for people that haven't heard this before.
Yeah, well, I might have told it on this show or maybe Ganya's show, but at the Cage of Death Ring of Honor CZW show, Shingo was there, and I didn't really think Shingo was too good in this couple ROH outings. Like, when he first started, he just seemed kind of there, you know, for a Japan guy. So there's Shingo in the audience, and I saw him, not in the audience, but like at the bottom of the bleachers, I'll say. So I saw him, and me being the animated little fucker I am, I'm like, hey, Shingo, pat on the arm. And he goes, rah, and he kind of flips shit. Because, see, he broke his arm. So I hit him in his broken arm. Not unbeknownst to me, even though I have the finger on the pulse of the indie wrestling happenings, I did not realize that Shingo had a broken arm. So, yeah, Shingo did his trademark scream with the big eyes at me, and I ran like a little bitch. But
wow.
Yeah, making friends as usual.
Making friends with Shingo Taiaki right there, so.
Shingo Taiaki. Sounds like a fine, fine Japanese.
Well, that's why you call him Shingo. I mean, because, yeah, Taiaki seems like it seems like something you would possibly do in the comfort of your home with all the doors closed and maybe the shades pulled down a little bit and the lights down low.
Yes. Wrestling.
Wrestling. a fine sport it is, yes.
Yeah, Japan is on the upswing, but
I don't believe that for a second. I think you've been lucky to see some good Japanese stuff lately. I will not sit there and say that Japan is on the upswing yet. You know,
yeah, I don't watch it all. I watch stuff that Alan Forel sends over to me, and usually he's a pretty good distinguisher of pretty good stuff. And he honestly, he's my booker of the year or whatever. Like
Alan Forel.
He books matches.
Don't tell Sapolsky, he's going
to
yell at you.
Yeah, I know, he probably would. But Alan just, he has a good eye. And Dan, you know, Chikara, Jiggy Dan even, they have a good eye for good wrestling. Like, they help me get back into this shit, because it's lacking, man. There's even ROH, I mean.
What?
Yes. ROH, man, they got to get their act together. They're not. Oh, have we done a show since I went to Philadelphia?
We have not, so that's a good segue to the Philadelphia show, which was probably, which Philadelphia show? Because, of course, we have not done a show in a very, very...
Oh, and Kensuke Sasaki and Claudio had a real...
Oh, yes, and the former GHC junior champion Brian Danielson against Nakajima.
Yeah, well, that was very good, and the Death Valley Driver people that were in attendance were loving it. I was actually mad after the match. I was like, oh, fuck this shit.
Why were you upset, Rob?
Look, it's... Okay, I'm going to try to explain this.
Would you like a diagram? Because on the radio, it really helps a lot better if it's written down.
No, but I'm going to take a sip of Diet Coke 1 second. Okay, so what happened here, dude? Nobody knows who fucking Nakajima is. I mean, I know that Gabe and Ring of Honor would like to think that all the smart wrestling fans that go to their shows, you know, could, you know, list a litany of 4.5-star matches that Nakajima's had in the last 4 years. But, yo, man, I only sold 4 DVDs when I did a Best of Nakajima compilation. Half of them were people in, like, Austria and England and shit. So I don't think anybody, like, nobody knew. And, like, here's a guy with the best kicks in the world, Tajiri Step Aside. And they waited till, like, minute 8 for him to unleash one of these kicks. I mean, it was good wrestling. It was good. I mean, it was smartly done. I mean, others would say it was brilliant. But I was bored, man. I just wanted Nakajima to get one good kick in. And as soon as he got that kick in, people would be like, okay, I'm into this now. I'm watching it. I'm intently watching this shit because, oh my God, it's going down. Who's this guy? How come he kicks so hard? But that shit didn't happen. So until minute 8, it was kind of like a lull. Good counter wrestling. Yay, golf clap for that shit. But I wanted to see Nakajima unleash the kicking fury. So one good thing is I was told by some of my friends that saw the – well, very few people saw this so far, but the Japan match with I believe it was Ibushi and Kenta – no, Ibushi and Marufuji against Nakajima and Kenta. I heard that was like a 30-minute match, and I heard there was like 30,000 kicks in it. So what Danielson Nakajima was not to me, I think this tag match in Japan will be, so that's good. But then Generico didn't win the belt. I don't know what it is, but I really thought Generico was going to win the belt. I mean, I don't know why, but I thought, nah, shit's kind of boring. It's kind of stale. Gabe's really, you know, his back's against the wall. He's got to do something crazy and exciting, and Well, of course Jericho loses. And it's like Nigel's beating him the whole match. It is one of those Barry Windham Too Cold Scorpio style matches where the heels just get heat. And then the babyface gets the big old comeback at the end. Boom, 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 boom. The crowd's going fucking crazy. And then he fucking cuts him off and pins him. And, you know, it works as far as, like, you know, oh, fuck you. We are going to pay to see this again. But I don't know if that match is going to ever happen again at the Alhambra. And bottom line is, I just thought it was predictable. But, and then the worst of all, and it seems like I'm shitting on this show, and maybe I am, but,
good thing about this, Rob, is you've had lots of time to reflect on this show.
Yeah, I mean, I actually remember writing a positive review the day after, but all I could come up with negative shit right now. But, the main event was a cage match, which seemed like it could not, you can't go wrong with a cage match in mutant town Philly, you know, South Philly, you know. You figured they'd have loved it, but no. It went forever. Nobody cared. The Necro came out, people went nuts. And the Necro got his head bashed in with like 10 chair shots, and then dropped on his head, and then he was gone. And the crowd died for another 15 minutes. And the Briscoes did this big comeback, kicked some ass, and won the match. And everyone's kind of like, yay, that's cool. But Necro Butcher is like baby Jesus to these fucking people in Philadelphia. And Gabe, that's like the easiest booking you could possibly do. And he fucked it up. I don't know. I don't get it. And then Chris Hero. Oh, there was a six-man match, dude. It was Eddie Edwards, who's fucking growing on me, despite the fact I've called him, you know, Mr. Vanilla for a year and a half.
Mm.
But Eddie Edwards, Chris Hero, and there's another guy. Oh, Shag Hagedorn were against Roderick Strong, Ruckus, and Jigsaw. And the match started with Ruckus and Shane Hagedorn having, like, a horrible botch, and Shane Hagedorn blowing his shoulder out. But he powered on fighting spirit style and botched about 18 moves in a row, and fans were like, dude, this fucking sucks. And it was just a horrible match. And then, like, it was one of the nicest things because they just, Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards somehow, some way, just got it back, and they just start going off, and then they had all these cool double teams with the Vulture Squad and Roddy, and then, you know, the heels were begging off, and people were fucking going nuts, and Hero was cheating and elbowing people in the face. By the time it was over, I was like, wow, that was the best match on the card. So it's one of those things where you watch a wrestling match, and you're like, oh, shit, this sucks, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, this is kind of cool. Oh, wow, this is great. And that's a great story for a wrestling match to have. You know, aside from Shane Hagedorn, you know.
Well, busting out, yeah, and doing a Knoxville, so to speak.
Yeah, and then that pasty fucker, that that Ring of Honor trainee that is like the worst wrestler in the world. God, what's his name?
You don't mean Sugarfoot Alex Payne, do you?
Yes, I do.
What? Homeboy, and I'm not talking Willie.
Yeah, his sister tried to assault me. I'll go into that.
What?
Alex Foot Sugar Payne is walking down the fucking aisle, and he's just, like, going to help the guy that Sweet Sour just beat up. And Chris Hero audibles and pushes him. It's like a little nudge. And Payne goes careening off the ramp into, like, a steel rail and almost dies. Oh, it's awesome. But, yeah, Alex Sugarfoot Payne was in a match with Cheech and Cloudy. Like, I don't know who his partner was. This is, like, 2007-ish. And I'm like, you fucking suck, Sugarfoot. And you know, in all my manly rage, and this girl like smacks me on the back of the head. She's like, "You little fucker!" And I'm like, "Oh no, what do I do now?" And she's like, "He's great." And I'm like, "Oh okay." And then she just walked away. And then I saw like a bunch of other Sugarfooters. The family looks alike, I guess. And then like everybody.
That's hot.
Yeah. And everybody was rooting for Alex Sugarfoot. It was like his biggest cheering section ever. So yeah. And then I was like, oh. Damn it. I mean, I don't like to insult people in front of the kinfolk, so yeah, that kind of sucks. But yeah, and then what else is on the show? I got to think of something positive to tell you. waiting, dead air. What the fuck? Name some other matches that were on the show. Kevin Steen and Goshi Ozaki I enjoyed. I thought that was, oh, and the opener was kind of fun with Kenny King and Jerry Lynn. That was good. Yeah, I don't know. I think ROH really, 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 really needs to just change shit up drastically. By Final Battle, they just got to get on a whole different page. I think they've got good matches on paper. The matches deliver a lot of the time. But they got to get some stories, man. It's just in a lull. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, It's wrestling, man. You got to book stories, and they're just not doing it. At least not to my knowledge or anything that I'm interested in.
It seems that they will always have a story when it comes to the tag team titles, but for the world title, it's sort of been the same story again and again. And every time the story is told again, it sort of doesn't get as interesting as it was before, you know?
Not only that, though, but, like, Chris Hero, for instance. I mean, here's a guy who is, like, an awesome wrestler. He's very personable. He's good on the mic. And all he's doing is putting over his knockout kid thing. That's awesome. He's knocking people out. They're bringing smelling salts out. They're bringing these guys to the back. But fuck, you know, have him knock out one of the big players or have something huge happen where, you know, a referee, like he loads the pad and, you know, he, you know, there's a big scandal over whether or not he should be the champ or something. Like, do something with this guy. He's not even on the fucking Canada shows. Did you see that?
I did see that, yes.
Kenny fucking King is on the Canada shows, and Chris Hero is.
Well, we're just meeting young Kenny King right now, so.
I know, and I like Kenny King a lot. I just think that the pecking order is a little weird when you got guys like Delirious and Eddie Edwards and Kenny King on a fucking Canada show.
Canada.
Maybe Chris Hero has some kind of horrible violation, and he can't cross the border, so I don't know.
I would think it's all that damn merchandise he has. So to get that across lines could be pretty...
You really can't. You just solved the story. Yeah, that's probably what happened. But, yeah, I don't know. What else do they have for Canada? Generico and Cena against the Briscoes?
Yeah.
That's nice. I think that'll be pretty hot. I want Pierre-Carl Lafitte. What's his name? Jean-Pierre Lafitte. But, yeah, what's his name? PCO. Pierre-Carl Ouellette. There you go, those fucking three name people. But, yeah, I want him to be on the show, but I think my one thing of him on the show is falling on deaf ears. But I'd like to – he trained Generico and Steen and had a hand in it. So.
Right. I would like to see him go back to his TNA namesake of X. X Division guy is not really any part of the X Division.
Yeah. In quasi S&M gear.
Oh, boy.
Appeal to those in San Francisco. I guess that would be okay. I want the Amazing Red to come back, too. I just don't know, Keith. When I'm wanting the Amazing Red to come back, am I really
You're
into
really
wrestling?
You're wanting the Amazing Red to come back.
Yeah, I like it. Even if he's fat and can't fly anymore, it'll be amusing to watch. I don't know.
It'll be amusing for a short time, I think. You know.
Yeah, as long as he'll bring those fucking brothers with him, it's all good.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe to get Red back, you have to bring the SAT back into your life, Rob Naylor.
Yeah, fucking SAT.
Are you willing to do that? It doesn't seem like you are.
No, I'm not.
It really doesn't seem like you are at all. So.
No, I'd rather have Izzy and Dixie back. I like Izzy. I wish I liked Izzy.
The Insane Dragon?
Blue Dragon was his first name, too. See who's a mark of him now. But, yeah, he used to come out and I'm blue, ba ba dee ba da. Remember that song? Sure you do.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's Eiffel 85. But, yeah, I was a fan of his for a couple of years. And
I remember you being a big fan of the Special K as well.
Yeah,
I
was. Yeah, I don't know. That gimmick was great. I enjoyed it. Then I found out what it was really all about. I kind of didn't like it anymore. You know? I mean, it's basically pulling the talent for a certain person's next conquest. But yeah, it's scary. That's the creepiest gimmick of all time. We could all agree on that.
There's plenty of creepy gimmicks to go around, Rob Naylor. I don't think we should just sit there and bypass the one thing. I think we should look all around and enjoy.
Oh, dude, and fuck Ian Rotten while we're at it.
Wow, that's a good segue for me talking about the TPI. Keep in mind, we have not prepared a second of this show.
Oh, God, were you there?
I was there for TPI night two. I got to see the Wooden Steel Cage of Doom.
Sammy Callahan?
I got to see Sammy Callahan become a young man in front of our eyes. The amazing Drake Younger story as told through the eyes of one Drake Younger. Oh, did I see it all? I had fun because I had very low expectations of the show, and it basically bypassed that, especially in a match where you have Cassandra versus Sarah Del Rey, and you could basically hear at times an audible Cassandra sitting there saying, "Don't slap my face too hard." Or stay away from the face. That's a true worker right there.
No habla español, amigo.
Yeah, nice. Rob Naylor. So, yeah, I was at the guy, and I had a good time because it was nice going to a show where I wasn't responsible for anything backstage and didn't have to write any checks. So right there is a win-win for Dr. Keith right there. But
how many speeches did that fuck Ian Rotten?
You know what? Here's the good thing though. Ian did not do his traditional Ted Petty speech, which every year gives a emotional speech about Teddy and cries. This year there was no crying Teddy speech, And of course, even better, Ian Rotten thanked me and several of my friends from ChicagoProWrestling.com after the show for coming to the one IWA Mid-South show that we always come to every year. So that was a handshake Rob Naylor.
Wow, that's nuts.
Pay
Dave Taylor, dickhead. But yeah, that's rough.
And Too Tough Tony. Don't forget Too Tough Tony.
Yeah, we can. The Insane Clown Tony. Yeah.
The Insane Clown Tony, ladies and gentlemen.
That's his new name. But Too Tough Tony.
It was there were parts of the show that I enjoyed thoroughly. There was, and then there was Joey Eastman's ass, which I didn't enjoy as much as other things. But match wise, there was nothing on the show that myself and my good friend Todd were talking after the show. There was nothing on the show that was bad. But there was nothing on the show that has like that TPI moment or the TPI feeling, like Chris Hero turning on Eric Cannon a few years ago, or
jumping on him shoot style.
Yes, yes.
That's what I'm gonna do when I get in a fight, man. I'm gonna attack someone, pull them by their hair, and knee them in the face, and then jump on them like Chris Hero jumped on Eric Cannon. I'll tell you if it works or not.
I'm gonna tell you something right now, Rob. It won't work. I'm just saying. Just saying, we had, there was some fun stuff. I mean, the Drake Younger, Michael Elgin match was interesting because Michael Elgin, here was a guy that started off as a pretty hot prospect. I mean, he worked two ROH dark matches. He basically was like a bigger Rhino. I mean, he very much looked like Rhino. He had the awesome double DVD that everyone was loving. Gets a knee injury and comes back as Meatball, from the early years of TNA's midget division. And the match that he had with Drake Younger, I believe in the second round, had a nice referee stoppage. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun, Sami Callihan, I like Sami Callihan. I think the fact that he sells where other indie guys don't sell is a fun thing. The fact that I enjoy the fact he's selling on the way to the ring. I don't know, is it because of his new horror heart or what the heck's going on there, but I enjoy Sami Callihan very, very much. So
Did he do El Generico's suplex into a powerbomb, or did he do Roderick Strong's backbreaker, or did he do El Generico's kick?
It's a loving tribute to some of the...
Sami Callihan, he reminds me of like eight other people, all wrapped up in the one. He does do that one cool move that Adrian Adonis used to, where he comes almost with the Tito Santana's Mexican hammer, where like El Paso del Morte even, where the guy's bent over and he comes and just smacks you across the head. Like,
yes, it's Sami Shitty Lariat, as I like to call it.
There you go.
Where it's basically... Yeah, it looks like it could be a lariat, but it doesn't look as devastating as a lariat. But the way he throws it, you're just like, wow, That could be like a half lariat, half discus punch.
He comes with that shit. I'll give him credit, and I'm trying not to like him, but he had a match with Trick Davis that was very good, so I can't totally diss him. But Drake Younger, I don't know, man. And Michael Elgin? No, not for me. Who else is in that thing? Dingo. There's a little motherfucker. Is he good?
Here's the weird thing about Dingo. When I was introduced to Dingo a while back, he had, I remembered him for his awesome, awesome man at work music, but more importantly, his awful tattoos. He had on his back, he basically had the arm of Sabu tattooed on his back and the word extreme underneath it. And it was something where I would want to see him wrestle at ROH shows so I could basically say how awful this tattoo was. He basically has done two things this year, it seems. Number one, it seems that he has gotten better in the ring. That's a positive. Number two, he has covered up this awful tattoo with like a huge OVW-type dragon back tattoo.
That's good.
And number three, he seems to have been over in the IWA crowd by constantly having this huge vagina on his head open up in almost all his matches. He basically walks around constantly with the forehead bandage, and I've seen it opened up on several occasions, Rob Mailer.
Huh. So, maybe he's going for that Steve Corino tough guy thing.
That could be a way to work for Corino. Look at him. 88 tours of Japan, my friend.
Is he bigger or littler than Telly Primo?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say Primo-esque when it comes to size.
Mm.
You know, I would like to see them. I would, you know what? I like to see them back to back and see who's bigger.
Yeah, I would too. I'm a big mark for this. Who's taller? Shit, as you might imagine.
I would think so. I would think Rob, that I would think that you could possibly look up to Dingo, but not by that much.
Good, because every time I see my 7-year-old niece, I have to go, "Hey, who's taller?" And that's like a big tall day for me, because she's like 3'10". So, you know, maybe when she's next year, when she's 8, she'll eclipse my height. But for now, I'm...
That's why you got a drugger, dude. And I don't mean drugger, dude, like the good drugger, dude. I mean, like, the bad, like, make sure she doesn't get that growth spurt thing, so...
Yeah, she can't borrow any of Uncle Bobby's creatine. But, wait, what? Anyway, yeah.
They still make that shit?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. I used to take that stuff like it was fluoride tablets.
Wow.
There's a reference, isn't it?
No, there's that. We're just going off the cuff here right now, so.
Yeah, baby. Fluoride tablets, baby.
That's
dude,
way
so, to... Okay, so was there Chris Hero and Trick Davis, or as I like to call him, Truth Martini, was that good?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was. I thought they were. They put
I heard
out...
it was awesome. I don't know. I didn't see it.
You know, the thing was that there was, I mean, they definitely hit each other very, 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 very hard. You know, as a matter of fact, I, you know, I don't want to break the kayfabe here, and I'm not, but, you know, they basically beat the hell out of each other. Like, I saw Trick Davis afterwards, and he literally looked like someone had taken one of Ted Petty's stop signs and repeatedly hit Trick Davis in the head with it. So if you enjoy watching Trick Davis get beat up, definitely check out night 2 of the 2008 Ted Petty Invitational. So... You know.
That's the match I want to see most. Like, I don't... who did Dave Taylor wrestle? He wrestled Claudio.
Dave Taylor, right? Taylor wrestled Claudio, and it was a fine, fine 8-minute match.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
You know, it was very good. And then Dave Taylor, of course, wrestled the Paycheck, and sadly, the Paycheck...
He jobbed that one, didn't he?
Yeah, very, very quickly. Too Cold Scorpio, again, looked fantastic in this tournament. The semifinal he had with Sami Callihan was good. I would like to note for people that do get the DVD of this release that you could see two Chicago wrestling legends dancing around Too Cold Scorpio during his introduction, which might have jinxed him.
Wow. Do you think you think Ian Rotten pays Scorpio and Weed? Almost has to, right?
I've heard rumors saying that he does get paid in some sort of currency, whether that's human or herbal. I'm not of any liberty to say.
That's awesome. I assumed, and I think I was right. But yeah, that's funny.
It was a good prediction. I would want to say that he's actually possibly gotten a wing of the new IWA wrestling school all to himself right now.
There you
so.
Go. He's getting the sticky icky payoff.
Well, that's a good payoff when you. I mean, really, when you
that
come
a great
down.
Great one. I don't judge. I love it. I'd like to get that payoff.
Yeah. How do you think I'm going to pay you from now on? You know, given the shitty state of our economy, which I possibly blame on the lack of shows.
Awesome. You know? You got to drive across the country then to California, get some of that medicinal stuff, and send it this way, pal.
Well, a battle of Los Angeles weed. It's good shit, apparently.
Yeah, dude.
It might
probably half of those guys are going out.
You know, like, it's still good stuff.
Dude, I love how one of the Jacksons is getting married, so they made up a reason for the other Jackson to be in the tournament.
Oh, that's tremendous right there.
Well, it is. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's the way they could take negatives and turn them into the biggest, funniest positives, because Excalibur is fucking the funniest human being on the
He planet. Is a fantastic man. He will be on the show very shortly to discuss, of course, the Bola this year. And, yeah.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to Battle of Los Angeles. I wish, I was going so I could ruin another company with my shitty commentary. So, yeah.
Dude, why don't you we'll talk about that, but why don't you just tell Tyler Black to step off and put Excalibur and get him on the show?
I think we will go with Mr. Black and this.
Oh, yeah, he's already been interviewed. My bad. Yet again, my time continuity to these
days. I don't even know if we're going to have a guest this week, so that's why I just have to sit there and say, Mr. Black, and plus, it's a good success.
Maybe you'll get, like...
So if anything, I do well, Rob.
You'll get Rob Black to do the show.
That would be... Oh, wow. How about a Black on Black edition, where we interview Tyler Black and Rob Black at the same time?
Yeah, man, we could ask Rob Black all kinds of interesting things, I'm sure.
I'm sure he would have a lot of interesting answers for us.
Yes.
So, but what else can we talk about? TPI overall, you know, definitely wasn't the greatest TPI ever, but there was nothing on the shows that would make you hate wrestling at all, you know.
So we both went to shows that were kind of lukewarm on, huh?
Well, I mean, there was nothing, after going to TPI, like, it wasn't something where I was like, oh, yeah, I love IWA, I'll be back when you open up your school. Talking in a high voice. I mean,
that's what you want, though. You want to leave a wrestling show like, yeah, man, that was fucking awesome.
Well,
that was well worth my time invested driving to this shit and paying for a ticket. But, like, I don't think that's okay, that has happened, I guess, a little bit recently. That last New York show was pretty damn good. And you had that Chicago show, not the one with Jerry Lynn and Nigel, but the one before with El Generico, which I've recently watched on DVD. And Chris Sabin landed on you. Oh, it was great. And then Chris Sabin, guys and gals, climbs up, stands on a chair, and then stands on a rail, and Dr. Keith just stands up and still is taller than Chris Sabin. What a prick you are, Dr. Keith.
I don't need to be a tall prick, man. That's just the way it shows up.
You need to scrunch down a little bit to make the workhorse look taller.
Wow.
Or at least beg off like a pussy whenever they come near you, which you're trying to do.
So just shriek a little bit, you know. And I was trying to actually push Bill Barlow out of the way as that stuff was going on, but it just wasn't happening, man.
Well, you Bill know? Barlow was there? Tremendous.
Barlow was there next to me at that show, I believe. Or, you know,
there you go.
I think he was still there because I think that match was pre-intermission. So he was definitely there. And I was sort of like, Bill, you know, you're not here to catch Chris Sabin. You know? I think I've said that to him almost every day since then. That's how
there
awesome.
There you go.
So,
Sabin jumping out of trees and shit.
But, you know, I have been to some other shows recently. Like, for instance, last weekend I was actually at the TNA pay-per-view in Chicago, if you could believe that or not.
Wow, how'd that go?
You know what? It was a fun show because I was sore as a motherfucker from running 26.2 miles that day. So, you know, going to a show in flip-flops with huge blisters, if that's your idea of fun, that's what I was involved with. But thankfully, because the wonderful wrestling media, I had some very good seats. And more importantly, I was in the club section, which means I had, like, it was weird because they would have, like, I don't really want to say it was a skybox, but there was, like, a skybox area where they had an all-you-could-eat buffet there, Rob Naylor.
Shut up.
They had a full-service liquor bar. And, I mean, it was all individual bathroom for these two sections. I mean, it was fantastic. And the thing was, the Chicago was loving the TNA so much that it was amazing. TNA literally could have had a piece of shit show and everyone would have been like, yay, TNA is here, awesome, yay. They did not have a piece of shit show. We had the smell of a burning abyss in Chicago, and yet, yay, all right, TNA, yay, you know. And one of the things that got me was the TNA backstage pass rule, because as you've read, I mean, you're a well-read man, Rob Naylor, I know you read the dirt sheets and everything else, that they basically pass out, you know, these little, you know, you can get backstage and meet, you know, all the stars of TNA, or in one person's, you know, the only person they wanted to meet was, of course, TNA, you know, person backstage, Savio Vega. You know, they have these, they're basically, we want the loudest fans to go backstage. There was a point where Jeremy Borash must have taken 50 passes and just thrown them into the crowd. It's like, wow.
Did you get one?
I did not, because I wanted.
You could have met Christy Hemme, for Christ's sake.
Again,
you already met her. Oh, you're cool. Hey, I'll pick that name you dropped. That's amazing. I'm so jealous.
I did drop that one. Oh, she definitely is. She definitely is.
So. I like her. A lot of people think she's got way too much forehead, but...
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with a little five head. You just got to do some rouge to reduce it. That's all, you know?
Keeps busting out the five head.
Five head, that's all. But, no, that shows, I mean, and here's the thing. When you have Mongo McMichael there doing a fucking football spot, How could wrestling be bad, ladies and gentlemen? Even though, without a doubt, a shitty refereeing job, it didn't matter because we were just enjoying the fact that when we saw football, when we saw a football helmet, we knew there'd be something like that. And the fact that Mongo did not clothesline one member of Beer Money Incorporated, I believe that was Robert Roode. No, he just sat there and gave him it sort of looked like Sammy Callahan's shitty clothesline lariat.
Dude, fucking right, you marked out for Steve McMichael.
Fuck yeah, U.S. champion.
You were there. You remember 1985, man. You remember the day Super Bowl.
I remember being a little bit upset the fact that he didn't have a line in the Super Bowl shuffle. You know.
Yeah. Exactly, but you remember the post-match, listen to me, him and Refrigerator Perry picked fat-ass Mike Ditka up, and they carried him off the field. I always thought when Mongo got into wrestling, he should have just picked someone up, like he picked up Mike Ditka, and then just dropped him backwards, but
it should have,
that would have made much sense.
Yeah. Jeff.
Yeah, and dropped him on his head.
That would have been
but, yeah, Mongo, man, that's cool. How'd he look?
He looked old. He looked old and immobile, so like most former U.S. champions, so.
Yeah, he looked like he was living pretty hard. But I imagine
living, my
that,
friend.
You know, at least he's not dead.
Not yet. Yeah, you know, it's still early.
Yeah, I can't.
We can't.
Yeah, speaking of a Deadpool, did you see that there's a thing called Degeneration Mechs now?
Oh, yeah, I'm working on getting a Degeneration Mechs member on the show sometime in the relative near future.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I'd want Jack to join Degeneration Mechs.
Apparently, they're actively recruiting him with gift baskets and a horse. So,
well, hopefully Jack remembers all those Sean Waltman 1-2-3 kid tapes I sent him back in 1999. And he goes with Sean Waltman because that man, he will be the learning tree, baby. And he will impart knowledge on how to be awesome. Because my favorite wrestler was indeed Sean Waltman for a long, long time. I think he's the most fucking underrated guy. Now I'm sure he's a little coked up, a little fucked up, and probably really wasted, but
I'm going to enjoy it. No, but yeah, can't sit there and say that he was coked up when it was probably not. Keep in mind, you cannot, of course, sue the show, because for the TNA show was fine. It was weird though, because like the main event with Joe and Sting was odd to me, because it reminded me of like the first year of TNA where they'd have like a pretty decent wrestling show, and then for some reason or other in the main event they'd go brawl in the bleachers forever, and it'd be like, okay, you see one or two good moves, and then Joe breaks his ass. So.
Yeah, I heard that was the most awesome thing ever, and then I read that Brian.
You know what? Live, it was just so fucking stupid. It was great. It was just like, what is Joe doing? Okay, Joe's getting up there, and like, wow, doesn't he realize there? Oh yeah, he's right there. And just the camera shot that they had was just like, wow. Last thing we not want to see is Samoan nutsack. So, yeah, it was. Yeah.
So did he? Did he actually break anything?
I don't think he did, but I mean, it just seemed like if you sit there and you're going to do this, we weren't sure, and after rewatching the match, we still are not sure if he was trying to do like a missile drop kick or some sort of senton, or if he was possibly doing both at the same time, you know.
Well, he does that forward kick where he runs and then he takes a back bump, but he just sticks one leg
that
out.
That might have been what it was, Rob Mailer, but at the same time, whatever it was awesome.
I think so too.
It wasn't as enjoyable as watching Sting actually get helped up to move up a few feet to dive onto Joe. So that was fun. That was just nothing better than seeing Dave Earl. It might have been Dave. Who the hell knows? Dave Hebner actually helping Sting to get up. But wow, it was a fun show. There wasn't any, much like TPI, I probably had more fun at TNA because I got drunk. So I'm just saying that right now.
And it was a loud, rocking crowd.
But it was the weirdest crowd in a while, because, no matter what, yay! They were loving this shit, man.
Good. That's the best. I applaud that. But when they get Chan happy, it kind of ruins it.
I was just like, there was one point, though, during the Bashir Creed match, which was probably the only match of the show, where I swear to God, it seemed like they were chanting CNN for some reason or another. I don't know if it was some sort of allusion to possibly Turner buying them or what have you, but yeah, it was They all they we all
only wish.
We all wish. But I mean, everything on the show, it was run very, very nicely, and it was worth being there and being five rows up from Vince Russo, as seeing the predictable Kevin Nash heel turn on Joe, and just everyone just being like, you know, just seeing the look in Russo's eyes really just made the show for me. So.
Well, that's cool. You got to see two shows.
I got to see four shows because I got to see some Chikara while we were on hiatus, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's
a fiasco. What do you mean fiasco?
Oh, I thought it was a horrible stressful
weekend. It was a very stressful weekend. When you find out the day before that, you know, there's been a death in the family, there's been a life in the family, and more important, Elo Rantal isn't going to be there. Yeah, it sort of gets stressful. And plus...
Well, that's like addition by subtraction, Oriental not being there.
There was so many things. But overall, I was very happy with both shows that were done, and... I got to do some commenting, and that's always a good time. And I think I might have gone a little overboard with the references.
Oh, it's okay. I can't wait to listen to it.
Both of them are out right now at smartmarkvideo.com, Rob Nailers. You know, and the Cleveland show is actually a very, very good show. The Chicago show, I'm sorry, the Streamwood show is very good, but I think the Cleveland, Ohio show was incredibly good just for Claudio Castagnoli giving a European uppercut to some ring stairs. Paul Wicked was on both shows. As he was in the main event on both shows. The first night, the Chicago show, he was in this really thrown together, you know, 5-on-5 tag match with himself, Player Uno, Icarus, Ophidian, and Worker Ant versus Quack, Player Dose, Amasis of the awesome, awesome Assyrian Portal, Grand Akuma, and Soldier Ant. And it went about 30 minutes and was pretty damn dandy. I
like the idea of the partners on the
that's totally
teams.
What
is that
they went
for
there.
There?
And I think it worked. Awesome. But the thing was, it was very, very hot in Chicago that day. And, you know, as someone that ran 23 miles before this show, I could testify, you know. But that...
Wow. So was Quack on the same team as Player
I believe
Dose?
That Quack and Player Dose might have been on the same team. Let me just double check.
If they were
on the same team, my friend.
Quack usually does pretty good with those little jumps. Oh, shit. Because I hate that other one, that fat one. He sucks.
Wow.
But, yeah.
It's good to call what it was. There was one spot in the main event that I did not like, though. There was a... of course, the Super Smash Brothers, the video game tag team, they basically came down the ring with a box, and inside the box was like one of the Super Mario Brothers stars that gives invincibilities. There was one part where a team member like put the star on player Uno, and then he did a splash off the top onto Uno, and Uno did not become invincible for 30 seconds while glowing and just, you know, basically hitting his huge moves on everyone. That sort of, you know, that was sort of upsetting, but still.
Do people get that shit? Like, a lot of times, like, I saw him do it at, like, a CZW show, and people are like, what the fuck is this? But I'm sure there's, like, a market for it. Like, I played Nintendo, too, as a kid, and I some of that shit goes over my head at times, but I mean, I guess it's cool and quirky, but I don't get it. And I like Dose more when he was just stupefied.
And then of course your boy Hollow Wicked and his tag team partner Delirious and Incoherent against the Super Smash Brothers headlined the Ohio show. Shitty ring, but awesome show. Definitely something to check out. Although skip the commentary in the third match. You know. No, I know you.
I'll try.
Oh, the Soul Touchers were on both shows,
right?
My friend.
Fucking mention them. They're awesome. They're going to make me buy the show. I think they're awesome.
No, you got to keep up with the Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy, all right. They got to change that shit up, though, in a year. You got to bring the new. You don't want to be like a fucking Ruckus and Julius Smokes still coming out the ballin'.
They're still ballin', man.
You know what I mean? Oh, fuck that. You got to be young and fresh. Like, I liked it when Jack would like change up his theme. Like, once a new club banga drops, you know.
Dude, so you're saying to keep it fresh. You're keeping it fresh is what you're telling me, Rob Naylor.
Fuck yeah. And another thing keeping it fresh is the fresh
Hold on.
And,
hold on.
Segway says what? Yeah, man. So
of
did you see the
debut episode? And you know.
Okay. So
I was expecting crap, and it was not as crap as I was hoping it would be. No, I enjoy the show. I think this is one 90210 that you and I could both agree on. Definitely takes from the old. Maybe puts a little bit of a twist on the old stuff, but at the same time, you know, it definitely feels like a 90210 series should. And I don't mean, you know, like where Kelly's in a cult 1 minute, and then the next minute she's has a problem with the cocaine. You know, I think.
Could you believe they already got the cocaine?
I can't believe they used the word vagina was used within 10 seconds of the show. That's how I knew this wasn't the 90210 I grew up with.
It kind of still is, though, because while you do have those shock value droppages of crazy words, you still have the same camp that made the 90210 originally so great. And you have now another brother-sister combo, this time step style, and one's a brother. So the opportunities are endless right there alone. Then you have the name drops of all the old-school characters. Motherfucking Nat in the Peach Pit is still intact. Well, they have updated
it's
it.
It's a
even,
huge coffee bar
too.
Now, and that's...
Yes, there's a deluge of cell phones and almost too much referencing to podcasts as if, like, all rich, affluent young people now have to have their own podcast or something. But that aside, I like the... I was going to say I like the skinny girl, but everyone's fucking skinny. But I like the heel skinny girl and then her friend's the drug addict. And then that real cute one that was on Degrassi, and you don't watch the new Degrassi.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So, you know, I'm going to – you know what? We were talking about this earlier on. We want to make sure that we get all these people's names right. So, you know, the weird thing is I actually know the name of course, the African-American kid. So, Dixon.
What's his name?
You know? And
let me think. Okay.
There is Ethan. Why do I know the name of the guys? Now I'm a little worried, Rob Naylor. It's like, wow, I know the guys. Okay, there's
it's
Annie.
The way they,
Annie's a young girl that, of course, was on Degrassi, the Degrassi High. She, of course, you know, was roofied and then raped and then became a slut with the manic. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Crazy.
She's crazy. Just way, 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 way too skinny. And more importantly, in some pictures I've seen, she has one of the worst tattoos I've seen of all time. And keep in mind, this is me saying that. So, you know.
Here's my take. I think she's awesome. I think that she is too skinny. She needs to eat a couple Subways.
She's not Godzilla, man.
No Jared sandwiches here. We gotta give her some fatty Quiznos, and she'll get some meat on her bones. But she's all right. I like her the best out of probably all of them. I like
and of course the drug that we refer to, of course, is it Amanda? What the hell is her name again? Give me a sec.
I didn't watch last night.
No, that was last night. Was a god. This is sad that we're actually going this in depth with it. But you know that some people are.
No, fuck it. This is more entertaining and interesting than the wrestling talk to me. So yeah, so last night
it was on,
it was
but it was
on,
a rerun
though, right?
Of the first episode of the season. So, you know.
Oh really?
You missed
Wait,
nothing at all.
Miss
did you see 2 weeks ago when Adriana, the you know, the person more importantly that was hiding the coke in her lipstick, you know, it looked like that she overdosed on something, and you know, they had the needle going into her heart because of that, and. It's awesome.
Yeah. Adriana is a better heel than anyone.
But you know what? She was doing too much of the heelish thing where it was like, you know, she and Annie had to work on something together. And, of course, Annie, you know, saw that, you know, Adriana was in Ty's room. But it really wasn't Ty. Ty wasn't in the shower at all.
See, that's the best. Hey, look it, I'm like shagging with a dude, and I'm leaving the water running to think some chick thinks I was banging this dude. I mean, who hasn't tried that one? What a great little anecdote that was. I was like, okay, we're on board now. This is the same old school 90210 mean-hearted, you know, it's just a mean-spirited show. And then when she found out about it and they kind of made friends again, I thought they kind of made friends too quick. It's kind of like if Orndorff turned on Hogan and then, like, they tagged back up a month later. Like, I kind of thought that skinny girl from Degrassi was too nice and she should have continue to not talk to her. Did you see the Jenny thing, though? I think the adults, of course we haven't brought them up till now, but I think the adults are one of the key parts of the show. I mean, Jenny Garth is amazing still. God love her. And Lori Loughlin is, what she lacks in charisma.
Yeah, she's fine. She's fine. I'm just glad that Uncle Jesse isn't on the show. So,
dude, Uncle Jesse's going to come up in this piece, second season, and just bone everybody.
And even when they have Jessica Walter on, formerly of Arrested Development, I mean, it's fun stuff because her character is very much like her Arrested Development character. And that.
Yeah, and that guy from Silk Stockings and all of us stupid wrestling heads that watch USAA, Primetime Wrestling, what came on after Primetime Wrestling, Silk Stockings. So we're familiar with that principal of the school.
Or if you're Brian Alvarez, he was also, of course, on Melrose Place. So don't get...
Yes, he was. I know.
That was
I forgot about that.
That's a show. Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the show right now. You know, you have... You know, I think the last new episode that we had was typical 90210 writing, where basically they gave us a history lesson on the rock band The Ramones that could have been written by someone that's never heard The Ramones on Wikipedia for 2 seconds. So that's what 90210 should be like, where basically you don't have to think about anything new, or basically don't have to think about anything at all. All you have to sit there and do, check out Wikipedia for a few seconds, and there you go. So, you know.
I liked it when that chick had the house to herself and Dixon came over. He's like, oh, yeah, are you ready for it? First time, baby. And he's like,
it's horrible.
And then all of a sudden, she's like, let's watch a horror movie.
And you know, that's the thing. He doesn't like the horror movies.
Oh, that's great.
But he got to like Psycho. Therefore, he probably got in her pants. So.
Oh, let's hope so. And I hope the movie
about zombies, that would be a good way to segue this whole segment here, Rob Naylor. So, you know. I think this new 90210 has legs. You know what, though? I've been lately, you know what's been on my TV watch list? Gossip Girl.
Uh-oh, what's that? Dude, that is the word. Everyone and their pervy brother is telling me it's awesome.
As the pervy older brother, I'm telling you to watch the Gossip Girl. Don't think about the characters.
Would I get it? Should I get the...
You know what? I haven't even seen season one. I'm hopefully going to be getting it relatively soon, but I've just been watching for the season, and there's some things, of course, that I do not know, but for the most part, I think I'm pretty much up to date with everything that's on there. So, that is on Monday nights before Raw, so you could think of it as Star Trek The Next Generation when you were watching Spike TV, you know? Except the fact that it's not bookended like Star Trek The Next Generation was back in those days.
That was another interesting...
Wait, it's not as good as 90210, though.
No, of course. Come on, dude. It's not even in the same hemisphere or galaxy, to be more...
And we've had some interesting episodes so far in the first season of 90210, you know. We, of course, had, you know, the dream man who flew Annie to San Francisco for dinner. And, of course, she got in trouble by her mom and dad. It's like every episode she has to get in trouble by her mom and dad. And the next episode, okay, we forgot. You know, oh, well.
Oh, I love the best part of the whole show in the greatest, creepiest way possible is when Dixon had to hand Skinny Chick the condom to use. That was great. He's like,
oh, it was sort of awkward right there.
Those two, man, that's going to be the connection, and that's going to blow people's mind come season four.
But by season four, here's the thing, though. It seems like right now you have basically like a core cast of like three guys and three girls, right? They got to give us more people, that's all.
And some of those new people need to be the adults, because we got to get Brandon back up in there. I don't want Donna Martin to be on the show.
You want her to graduate, though, don't you?
DJ. We all do, don't we? But we want Brian Austin Green up in that bitch, like I'm telling you. Not up in Donna Martin, because that's already happened, but maybe perhaps somebody else. There's going to be a teacher-student scandal.
Well, it seems like they're working with that with, what do you call it, the teacher Ryan and the NARC.
The NARC's
fucking super hot,
dude.
Man.
The narc
I was just like, damn, that is one fine narc, you know.
Yeah, saucy
narc, and that's why I like her a whole lot.
Okay, before we leave, we got to talk about our favorite OG 90210ers. So just pick two. One chick, one dude. Who's your favorite OG?
You know, I was always, I would say that, it's hard to say because, well, let me tell you who it isn't. You know who I really like and I thought was really underrated was Claire. Claire, I thought, was a very good character, lovely, nice on the eyes, really into the kinky, messed up stuff until she got into a relationship, and then that was gone. So fuck her.
Was she like 1995?
Yeah, she was basically the second year that they had of the when they were in college. She basically was the chancellor's daughter. You remember it?
I'll have to look that up. I kind
of. Soapnet has like 20 episodes of 90210 on a day now, Rob Naylor. There's no excuse.
Yep. I will have to catch up. There's no excuse.
You know, Donna Martin never was really that big of a fan. Like, even when she, when we found out that she had dyslexia, just been really just a yawner of a character for me. The fact that she kept David waiting for so long, you know. David, at least. Yeah.
She had dyslexia? So that means she was a fan of Bad Me Color.
The Color Me Bad episode, though, is a fantastic show. That really
it's the best
is
one of all time.
Just
yeah,
sort of the greatness of that episode. You know, I only wish back in the day when I saw Color Me Bad, my parents got a divorce. Because I think that would have made me a lot more normal.
I kept thinking that David Silver was going to run off with the Kenny G looking at
I would think that he would run off with the guy that looked like Kenny G, or possibly the guy that looked like a George Michael, you know? They were fantastic. We could talk about Color Me Bad all night long. But,
I know.
What other 90210? You know, I don't like anyone that was like post-college years, any of the dudes. I didn't like any of them. Like, you know, Matt, when they brought him in, which was Kelly's love interest towards the end, and
that guy had
Jamie Walters. Walters at least was brought some fun to the show. So Valerie Malone, Well, the thing about Jamie Walters was how many times could you hear him do that fucking Hold On song for a season? And I'll tell you, 26 episodes, maybe 24 times. The Valerie.
Valerie was Amber Thiessen,
right? An okay character. Just basically, like, towards the end, she got sort of mom-like, and I was not happy with that at all. You know?
Yeah, that's gross.
But I would have to say that probably, you know, Brenda Walsh, there's a line in one of the first season episodes, maybe episode 4 or 5 here. I guess, you know what I'm learning from doing this? I guess 90210 to us might be like Star Trek is to Trekkies. And that sort of scares me,
dude.
You know,
I have no doubt about that. Yeah, but the thing is, we don't talk about it all the time. Yeah. So we do talk about it.
there's a part where the mom, the lovely Carol Potter, is, you know, she's making a fruit salad or something like that, some bullshit like that, and you know, like Brenda's eating it, and she says something. Wow, everything in California tastes so delicious. And, of course, Carol Potter goes, well, at this price, at these fruit prices, they ought to be. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Brenda Walsh. Fuck you and your high-waisted jeans. That's the one thing you'll just watch when you watch the first few seasons. You'll just be like, my God, how much fucking denim are those girls wearing? They're like, I'm...
Yes, and the white halter.
It's like they can wear full-on bikinis, and back in those days, it was like wearing a fucking thong. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so best dude character in 90210, it's either got to be Brendan Walsh or Dylan McKay. Dylan, I take off points for because, of course, you know, he had a fantastic way to get out of that series with everything that happened to his, you know, to his wife and with his dad and stuff. But then when he came back, he, you know, was a guy with a drinking and drugs problem, but yet he's drinking in every single episode. And more importantly, of course, you know, like his dad, not dead. And that just upset the hell out of me. So, you know, Brendan Walsh. Yeah,
you go with Dylan.
Brandon was a pretty solid character, so I'll say him overall was probably my favorite male character. I mean, Steve Sanders became a dad in the last season, a dad. You don't put Steve Sanders down like that, especially when his mom became a lesbian around that time. So,
yeah, you gotta have him going up to the Playboy Mansion like real life.
Oh, totally. You know he was running roughshod over all that shit. You just look at his hair through the seasons, and basically you can tell how much he's getting laid by how curly his hair is. So, towards the end,
that's probably
not getting laid much. It's a lot straighter. So, and then female character, I'm going to have to sit there and say the lovely Kelly Taylor, even though she just went through way too many things on that show, which was good for, I guess, practice for her training as being a guidance counselor. But at the same time, a girl that got, you know, basically she was shot, she was raped. I mean, I can't even. She had the awful cocaine problem. She was burned in a fire. She was like, she was part of a cult, Rob Naylor. I mean, this girl had seen it all. She had a single white.
Yeah, she was burned in a fire. That was like a very special
episode. That was the one where she possibly had that lesbian kinship.
I remember that fire more than I remember the race riots in 92. That show was crazy. Oh my god. Okay, my favorites. Okay, number one, first and foremost, you gotta go with the number one male on the show ever, was Brian Aston Green, who was the DJ extraordinaire, who everyone wanted to be like. And he also went from dork to, well, not as dorky, and he pops Donna, which is a big thing. That was the equivalent of Joe's title reign. Yeah.
Which one, though? It's, you know, it's title reign or the... Okay.
No, ROH, man.
That's
just
true.
Waiting.
I would think it's more like Nigel's, but that's just me. But the fact that once he got it, you're like, yeah, okay, that's cool, and then just basically moved on and, you know, watched the title go to horse. So.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, Brian Austin Green was part of the greatest episode ever, which was the browbeating and subsequent death of Scott Sandlin.
Scott!
That was... That was awesome. Okay, now, best chick, I'm going to agree with you, Kelly, and it's because she's the most visually pleasing. Her voice makes young babies cry, and she's amazing. She's also my favorite on the current season. She's something else. And what made me sad was I didn't even appreciate it when she came to WrestleMania.
No one did. That's the thing. It's like, oh.
And she didn't want to be there, too, so it's kind of like, oh.
Anyway, did you see the car that year? It's totally understandable. I should want to be there.
I know. And who was she there with? Ray fucking Combs? And
I believe also that year was Rhonda Shearer, Up All Night.
Up All Night, Rhonda.
Okay, here's the thing, though, about David Silver.
Okay?
And I know we're really getting way into this. I like how we've actually had better discussion on 90210 than wrestling this week. So, yeah.
Far better. I love it. We're doing 90210 for a whole hour.
Here's the thing about Brian Austin Green, though. It seemed like as soon as he got shot from Scott, it seemed like he became much cooler then, you know? And then, of course, he had the drug problem, and then he became manic for a while. Have you seen the episodes where he became, like, a manic depressive? Those episodes
so
kicked
fun.
Ass. And his dad, of course, played by, I was about to say Martin Lawrence good old Martin fame, but instead Matthew Lawrence, formerly of Fox's Duet fame, which was a fantastic Fox show back in the day, if you'd ever saw it. It really taught me everything I know about relationships, that and the BBC's coupling. But, you know, I feel like I'm actually on crystal meth right now, much like Brian Austin Green was during the fourth season where I believe they went to college. And, of course, he had the crazy, wacky radio zoo with Donna Martin. And, of course, he wrote commercial jingles. He did a lot of stuff over the course of that show, you know.
The thing that happened was Brian Austin Green should have never let Donna Martin in the booth because it made me want to kill myself. She was so horrible on the radio. And as a radio guy, or former radio guy, she was Stephanie Wyand bad at broadcasting.
Could she talk really fast like this and mispronounce a lot of the things? No, sorry. That's what happens to me when I get too excited, and maybe I should take one of those radio and broadcasting courses. So. Okay.
No, they didn't have
any money. I was just sort of making small talk right here. But, you know, Rob Naylor, this has been a hell of a nugget this week. We don't even have to talk about any classical wrestling. We'll just talk bad TV or good TV that's done badly. I don't even know what to call 90210. It's a show, you know.
It's bad TV.
I will agree with that assessment. So with that, we are closing up the nugget this week here on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. Please. Stay tuned!
theme song for our...
You know, the sad thing is, guys, that's actually... We just started recording right there as Mike and Bill were laughing. So that's what makes it even better. So we will not be doing, again, our tremendous version of Dirty Dancing, the musical. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the final segment this week here on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show at F4WOnline.com. We appreciate you staying with us, and definitely want to thank our special guest. First off, of course, the Grey Goose, Kevin Nash. I definitely want to thank the people at TNAWrestling.com for making that happen. And definitely check out TNA Impact every Thursday night on, of course, Spike TV, and, of course, the gray hair in HD. So, and definitely want to say much special thanks to Leonard F. Chikarison. Definitely check out ChikaraPro.com. But, guys, a very good show this week. I feel that we're almost back to where we were when we stopped sort of doing shows on a regular basis a few years ago. So, yeah, I think things are good.
Takes a while to work out the kinks, you know what I mean?
You can't sit there. It's not like you could look at a motherboard of a radio show and sit there and go, okay, what's wrong? And then finding out the host is the wrong part of the show. And it's not like I could replace. Although I have been thinking about possibly just having a robot version of myself.
Or just like pull a string and it says something.
Well, you know what? That's actually more robotic, like less robotic than I was thinking. But I think that would work a lot better. I was thinking just like a sit and spell, perhaps, just with some of my excellent catchphrases that have never caught on.
Ah, and then put them through the capabulator.
Oh my goodness! Is the capabulator still working? Actually,
it's got its moments, but it's a little rusty right now. Need to oil it up a little bit.
I think you want to get a little freaky dinky with that K-fabulator, my friend. If I catch your K-fabulator comments about the K-fabulator correctly,
maybe.
May have been miscommunication.
Perhaps.
I hope by the way, there was.
By the way, speaking of miscommunication and some awesome miscommunications, I see there's a site right now online that's actually hosting old editions of the PPH, Mike Sempervive.
No.
Are you
serious?
There's actually a site up there where people, fans of the PPH, are archiving the old shows, which is amazing to me because I know back in the day, they didn't actually have the technology to keep those 10-hour shows on one MP3 or it's the first two show.
This would crush a server, would it not?
I you know what? I would think it would crush a server just of awfulness. So...
Oh man, who is doing this?
The person I forget their board name, but I definitely appreciate the person's job, and they've actually contacted me, and I'm seriously thinking about giving them my archive of all the old editions of the PPH, just so they can be kept in, you know, like basically like a preserve moose. You know?
Now, will I get royalties for this?
No, none of us get anything. None of us.
Can I shoot something like a moose, right? Like say our Palin would.
Well, I mean, you know, you would be able to get to shoot the moose with the blowgun, as the way any true wrestler should. You know, wrestlers should not
just spray mist in its face.
Oh,
well, that's or hairspray.
I would love to spray mist in the face of a moose.
Canadian mist?
Oh, well, maybe Canadian club mist.
Some Northern Lights.
That's delicious.
So if there are people out there then looking for the, you know, current analysis of wrestling from four years ago.
I would think though that the shows might be very timely still. You know, I would like to think that there's maybe a timeless quality with the shows, but somebody tells me there's probably not. But no, I seriously saw this today, and I was actually listening to some old PPHs, Mike Sempervive, and you know, God damn, what happened to us, man? It used to be so good. It was like, wow, when we were doing regular shows and such, and you know, like we were just having a good time.
I seem to recall most of the talk being about wrestling.
Yeah, isn't that surprising for a wrestling show? You know,
overrated,
what I
though. It's what we found out about that. Personality sells.
Definitely. But then we got too big for our personality britches.
That's true. I mean, you know, maybe all the personality right now is not being bought, but you know, we try to sell it. It's on discount right now, but
hey, man, sex sells, and I'm definitely buying. You know. Not for you, Mike, because you have a kid. But, I mean, I know. Well, Barlow probably has a few kids back in his native China, but still. But, yeah, I'm just definitely much thanks to whoever's doing that right now. It is definitely appreciated. But that reminds me, I really should just finish up the Dr. Keith archives and throw them all on the regular F4W website, considering now, under the guise of Sages, Meltzer, and Alvarez, this is without a doubt the greatest value in wrestling today. If you are not a member of this site, there might be something wrong with you. Or either that, or you're unemployed right now, which I could totally understand, given the economic times. But
wait,
now
I'm unemployed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really. Barlow's still here.
Well, that's true. Well, Barlow does actually get a small stipend from the government, meaning, i.e. me, to actually be on the show. Because otherwise, Barlow and I still would be on non-speaking terms. You know?
There is a market for my personality. Oddly enough, it's only Keith.
I'm buying, no, it's a joy to come back into people's homes each and every single week, and definitely check out the site, pay the money. I how much is the website now, Mike Sempervivi?
$9.95.
$9.95. You know what you could buy for $9.95? I don't know, because I can't spend any money anymore because of the economy, but I bet you could buy a lot for $9.95 right now. You know,
Canadian or euros?
Well, it depends. You know, I know you can't get that great Canadian mist, but I mean, you know, like I think you would have to sit there and have, you know, like an ancient age bourbon instead of the top shelf. So, you know, but regardless, guys, fantastic work this week on the show. And we're actually going to be back next week with two very special guests. First off, of course, from the fantastic people at kayfabecommentaries.com, we are going to have on the show Mr. Sean Oliver talking all about the You Shoot series and also talking about everything that went down at the Ring Roast last month or earlier this month with the Iron Sheik and, more importantly, a dramatic run-in, Scott Hall's most dramatic run-in since, of course, the Nitro party that he crashed that Barlow had. Also on the program next week, from the wonderful Pro Wrestling Guerrilla promotion in California, it's their big weekend, their Battle of Los Angeles, and we will have on a very special guest from this promotion on the show next week. So already we got guests lined up. Tyler Black will possibly be on the show. Possibly next September, September 1st, the week of September 1st, 2009, as someone mentioned on the board. Guys,
you can specify exactly.
That's the best thing about
people
it.
People jump to conclusions.
People sit there and think, "Wow, I just really want to show the good listeners of the show, all 10 of them, that I'm really preparing for the shows in advance." So, you know. With
dedicated.
That being said, and of course, more importantly, with an hour that I had with Rob Naylor, guys, my vocal cords are screaming for sweet booze relief. So I will leave you, gentlemen, this week, but we'll be back next week with more show, more wrestle talk, more hijinks, more good fun, and more of the good stuff that you crave here and on the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show. And if while you're on the site, if you find a show called the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, definitely check it out, but make sure it's an episode with Joe Gagne in it.
Son of a...
If you find any shows that have Gagne, should you say you listen, or only the Adam and Mike show?
Well, I think because he's a frequent contributor to this show, and I hope to have him on hopefully in 2 weeks, or possibly next September with Tyler Black, I would think any show that he's on this site would be good times, you know?
And on a related note, if you are or are in touch with Dan Severn, please have him get in touch.
Yes.
We need mustache advice.
We need mustache love, but not mustache rides. So on that fatal note, I am, of course, the good doctor, Dr. Keith Lipinski. That is, of course, Bill Barlow. That is Mike Sempervivi. And for Rob Naylor, for Kevin Nash's hair care, for everyone else in the English-speaking universe, this is Dr. Keith Lipinski signing off. Thank you so much for listening to the Dr. Keith Lipinski Show this week. So long, everybody.
Please hold while your call is completed.
Mike, it's been a while.
Yeah, new shit.
Hey, watch the link.
How long? Oh, sorry.
Still trying.
Oh, man, dude. That's totally like, just like, you've been away from the booze for a while, and once it hits your lips, it's just magic.
Still trying.
Oh, there. Barlow must really care about us.
How I've missed the...
I wonder when he goes to China, will we still get this, or will it be in Chinese?
Now, is he going to be Mandarin still Barlow, trying. Or...
He's going to be manned up, Barlow, more like it.
Now connecting to an answering
system. Oh, my goodness.
This is new.
We've never had this before.
Hmm.
Hello, answering service. Hello, my name is Dr. Kiepelpinski. You might remember me from such radio shows as the Dr. Kiepelpinski Show. I'm trying to locate my co-host, the one William Barlow, for the possible... crooning potential that he can give to this program. So if you please give me a call at, let's see what Mike's cell number is. I'm kidding, of course. Bill, it's Keith. Give me a call later. Bye-bye.